Four of the Usual Suspects, a Pippa Lotham mystery, written by C.S. Patra, narrated by Olivia Sirfoss. Prologue. Krupa Residence, 8:30 p.m. It was another typical party at the Krupa's house. Everyone who was someone was there, and each room was filled to capacity. The wine was pouring, the servants were moving around, and people were sampling the goodies on the table. There was no doubt about it. The Krupas had invited everyone they could. Not that this was surprising. They threw the best parties, had the best food, and were the best hosts. They were the people everyone else aspired to be. Their house was always in order, they helped out with charities, and they were always kind to everyone. The most notable reason everyone was there was for Alicia Krupa's latest line of soaps and fragrances. She made them for a living and had gotten a huge fan base as a result. Her online business had boomed over the last couple of years. She had called her business Breathe Life Bath and Body Products. No one understood where the name had come from, but no one cared. People all over the world were buying her products, and she changed them up every year. She worked hard on her fragrances and made sure to take everyone's suggestions seriously. Over the years, she had made all kinds of things. Soaps, perfumes, lotions, and potpourri. She used to crochet in the past, but found that everyone loved soap, especially if it was something homemade and wasn't tough on the skin. Customers would tell their friends, and business was growing. This was the one thing which made Alicia Krupa happy. She had a hobby she could spend hours on and reaped rewards from. The new products were the reason the Krupas had become wealthier than ever. The party was to announce her new winter line. She had run upstairs to get freshened up while the rest of her guests were still mingling. All around, the same things were being said. People whispered and chatted amongst themselves as snacks and drinks continued to be served. It didn't seem like anything was going to stop the party. Kurt Krupa kept going around and thanking everyone for coming. Although he was much older than his wife, he had been supportive of her business from the beginning. He was the one who had put in time and money so she could get it started. Eventually, she started to get assistance from the servants in the house. If she needed them to mix something or help her plan, they were by her side. Kurt helped her handle the books, but everyone else helped with the main work. As a result, they were able to have a party almost every month. People were walking around and talking amongst themselves. The hostess had gone upstairs, but everyone else was having fun below. They were gossiping and talking about how wonderful the party was. Music was playing, people were sampling the foods, and there were some who were dancing in the middle of it all. The alcohol was flowing, and the talk never stopped. Even as trays of food were being passed around, the conversation was going on. Alicia and Kurt throw the best parties! I know. Have you tried some of these cheese and spinach rolls? She says Thomas is the one who came up with the recipe. He should have been a chef instead of a butler. I heard he was a chef back in the day. I wonder what made him change his mind. Maybe he wasn't getting enough money. Anyway, he seems to be in better spirits than some people. Have you seen how grumpy Simon looks? I think Kurt made him spend more time walking around than anyone else. Where is Alicia anyway? She went to freshen up, but that shouldn't take too long. I can't wait to see what she has in store. I hope she has some more of those lemon-scented soaps. Those are vegan, so I'm hoping to get more. Someone said she's been using goat's milk for it, but I don't think so. She's not the type to change ingredients without telling someone. No, Alicia's not that kind. She always has options for vegans. That's true. She's always considerate of others' preferences. She deserves all the thanks and kudos in the world. When do you think she'll come down? Suddenly, they heard someone scream. People turned around to see Alicia Krupa running out of her room and vomiting. Before anyone could say or do anything, she toppled down the staircase. The music and action stopped as she rolled down the ground. Someone dropped their tray and a woman screeched. There was silence for a second, and then the screaming started again. People ran around with no idea where they were going. Someone shouted to call the police while others gathered to see what happened. That was when they saw it. Alicia Krupa was lying at the bottom of the staircase, vomit still in her mouth. Her husband was stunned, but he noticed something was crumpled in her hand. Carefully, he pulled it out and saw it was a napkin. What was on it would prove to be astonishing. There, in delicious handwriting, was the following. The butler did it. Chapter 1. Krupa Residence, 2:30 a.m. Portman's Creamery was normally not open at such an hour, but their workers were wide awake. It wasn't because they were expecting any customers to come in. Winter was usually not the best time for them. They were making revenue only because they had started to serve coffee, hot chocolate, and other hot snacks. Irene Garcia Galvin and her sister Chrissy had decided they needed to expand their business. Ice cream didn't sell well during cold weather, but coffee and hot pastries did. They would normally be awake early in the morning to get things set up, but that night was another story. That night, they were going out to solve a mystery. Irene and Chrissy were the ones who had the brilliant idea of becoming a detective agency. The ice cream store was their front. Most people who came in didn't know what they did in their spare time. With winter and cold weather approaching, they didn't have as many customers as normal. Instead, they waited to see what new crimes would pop up. Their friend, Chase Owen, was a detective as well, and he was the one who brought them cases which were too hard for the police to solve. Everyone found him to be a smart detective, and one who always got the bad guys. In truth, he had help from the girls at Portman's Creamery. He usually got permission ahead of time from his boss, and they always waited for him to call them in. As soon as the phone rang, the girls would be on their way, and he'd have all the details they needed. If he didn't have everything, he would bring them whatever he could. He normally called them during the day, but it was well into the early hours of the morning. No one was prepared to solve a case at that point. Chrissy had picked up the phone, and Chase had told them to come down to the Krupa's mansion because he suspected there was a murder. After discussing it with Irene, they rounded everyone up and headed to the Krupa residence. There were five other detectives besides Irene and Chrissy. Pippa Langham, Becca Miyamoto, Mary Beth Pearson, Stacy McKinnon, and Winky Smith. Winky was the only senior citizen in their group, while the other girls were in graduate school. At the moment, she was busy talking about why she didn't want to be awake. She didn't like working on cases late in the evening because she went to bed early.
"I was having the best dream ever," Winky was complaining. "I was dreaming I was in the 1788 Olympics and was witnessing the great pants off."
"There were no 1788 Olympics, Winky," Stacy said.
"Says you. Anyway, you're jealous you didn't get to see the great pants off."
"I will not ask what that is. I'm more focused on the case. Chase called us for a reason, so we should find out why," Irene stated, taking the lead. "Remember, we have our limitations. We can view everything, but no touching. We stick by Chase at all times. We don't try to wander off or talk to the suspects unless we are given permission. Got that?"
"Yes, boss," Becca answered. "We'll linger and make notes." Irene and Chrissy both approached Chase, who had been talking with some of the police officers. When he saw them, he made his way over. There they were, short-haired Pippa with her unamused face, Becca looking tired and curious, frizzy-haired Mary Beth stifling a yawn, tall and blonde Stacy in her expensive coat, and Winky, who was rambling.
"I was wondering when you would show up. I thought you'd tell me to wait until morning."
"Crime never waits," Winky exclaimed, forgetting about her dream. "I think that's the saying anyway. Are you sure it's okay for us to hang around here?"
"The chief said it was okay for you to come on the promise that you don't touch or mess up anything at the crime scene. You can observe only," Chase reminded them. "Just stick close by me and we shouldn't have any problems."
"I think that's fair enough," Pippa responded. "What do you have for us?"
"The victim is Alicia Krupa, the owner of this fine house, as well as a member of the country club and creator of Breathe Life Bath and Body Products. She's well known for making soaps, lotion, and fragrances suited for everyone. She started doing this about 3 years ago. Everyone was impressed by her because she was a young businesswoman, only 30, and she had made something of herself. She shipped all over the world, and her business became her empire. I think you see why she lives in this neighborhood."
"Some neighborhood?"
Irene flipped her long brown hair over her shoulder. "I would not be the slightest bit surprised if money was the motive."
"Truth be told, I'm not sure what the motive is," Chase said. "It's a nice neighborhood, all right. I've been staring at everything for a long time. Part of that was to find clues, but I was mostly looking because it's a house I could never afford." I'm not gonna lie. I'm seething with jealousy inside, Stacy admitted, staring at the beautiful rose gardens lining the driveway. What exactly happened here?
Well, Mrs. Krupa was throwing a party to show off her new line of lotions and soaps for the winter. The first couple of hours went well, and the guests almost bought out her entire set of pumpkin spice-scented soaps. Then dinner rolled around, which was catered by three different restaurants. Once that was over, Mrs. Krupa went upstairs to freshen up. Things were going fine until she came stumbling down the stairs. She fell, and many of the witnesses say they saw foam around her mouth. Her husband called 911, but it was too late. She passed away before the paramedics could get to the house. Everyone's in complete shock over this, but we're still trying to question them. So far, no one knows what's happened. Some are still trying to recall the previous events.
Do you have leads yet? Becca asked. I know it's pretty early, but...
Actually, there was something. When Mrs. Krupa fell down the stairs, her husband noticed she had a balled-up napkin in her hand. As he was trying to revive her, he found the napkin, and apparently she wrote down who killed her on it. She had enough strength to pinpoint who it was before she passed away. She probably suspected she couldn't tell anyone right away, so she did the best she could by writing on a cocktail napkin.
"Well, that's great!" Chrissy exclaimed. "You can wrap this whole thing up!"
"Yeah, I could." She wrote down that the butler did it.
Winky rolled her eyes.
"Why am I not surprised? It's usually the butler who does the crime. Now let's just arrest him, charge him with murder, and go home. I need to finish the dream I was having.
Seriously, why wake me up if you already know who did it?"
"That's the thing. I don't know who did it."
"You just said the butler did it. It can't be easier than that."
"It's not that easy, Winky. You see, the Krupas don't have a butler," he explained. "They have four of them." Irene blinked.
"Excuse me? They have four butlers? Why would they need four butlers?"
"Hey, they can afford it. Have you seen this place?" Mary Beth looked at the house. "Unfortunately, that gives us four suspects to question. Let's not forget about the rest of the guests in the house. Just because she wrote that the butler did it doesn't mean someone else isn't involved. Have the four butlers said anything yet?"
"They're being questioned right now, and the coroner's going to do the autopsy on Mrs. Krupa to determine the cause of death. It appears she was poisoned, but we don't know how. Anyway, I'm about to go talk to the husband for a bit. I know it's going to be tough, and I'll need some backup here. The chief said it was okay, so here you are. I'm counting on you to solve this."
"You're counting on the right people, Chase. Lead the way," Pippa said, looking over Chase's shoulder at an older gentleman talking to the paramedics. They were running some quick tests on him to make sure he was all right.
"Is that the husband?"
Chase followed her gaze.
"Yep, that's Kurt Krupa. He can't figure out why anyone would want to hurt his wife. I think we can get a few words in. Let's go."
They walked over to where the husband had just finished talking to the paramedics. Pippa did her best to observe how the husband was handling things. The first thing she noted was that Mr. Krupa was much older than she expected. If Mrs. Krupa was 30, then Mr. Krupa had to be at least 50 years old. His hair was gray and his face already had wrinkles. Another thing she saw was that he didn't look devastated enough. People did grieve in different ways, but this was strange. He seemed very cool and collected for someone who had seen his wife die before him. She also hoped he didn't try to give her CPR if she had foam in her mouth. Chase stepped ahead of them and held out his badge.
"Mr. Krupa, I'm Detective Chase Owen, and these are my colleagues over here. We wanted to let you know that we're sorry to hear about your loss."
"I appreciate your concern. Everyone's been telling me that all night. It won't change anything, but it's comforting."
Mr. Krupa nodded and turned his head toward the ground.
"It was quite a sight. One minute, my wife is going upstairs to freshen up and introduce her latest fragrance as well as the pumpkin and cinnamon-scented soaps. The next, she's falling down the stairs and dying right in front of me. I was so stunned I had no idea what to do. Luckily, someone called 911, but it was far too late. I know I shouldn't have taken the napkin out of her hand, but I needed to know what it was. That's when I saw this."
He held out the balled-up napkin. "She must have used her last bit of strength to write this." Chase peered down at the scribbled note. "The butler did it."
"If we had one butler, that wouldn't be a problem, but we have four, and I can't imagine any of them wanting to hurt Alicia."
He shook his head. "They have always loved her. She treated them fairly, so I can't see why any of them would do this.
I don't even know why. I've asked them, but they have no idea who she's talking about.
Each butler is claiming his innocence. I believe them because I saw them all before Alicia died. They were downstairs serving our guests.
When was the last time you saw her alive? Pippa asked, holding out her card. Even though Chase had already introduced them as colleagues, she still felt the need to show her badge.
You said she went to freshen up.
That's right. It was shortly after dinner. I think that ended around 8. She was gone for probably 10 or 15 minutes. I was about to send Bernard upstairs to see if she needed help, but she came out of the room then. She didn't speak or do anything but fall.
Is Bernard one of your butlers? Mary Beth asked.
Yes. He's the one who's been with the family the longest. The other three are Henry, Thomas, and Simon. They're devastated by what happened. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this. He sighed. My first wife died 10 years ago, and I didn't think I'd find happiness again. Then Alicia came into my life, and everything changed. My kids have a mother once more, and she fits into the family perfectly. I really cannot think of anyone who'd want to hurt her. The fact that she said one of the butlers did it...
He stopped. Did you see Alicia drink or eat anything before she went upstairs? Stacy questioned.
No, I don't think the caterers had anything to do with this. Everyone else seems fine out here, Mr. Krupa answered. She didn't leave the room with anything to eat or drink, either. All she told me was she was going to straighten herself out. She didn't talk to any of the butlers during that time.
She was alive around 8 and dead by 8:30, Winky stated. That means something happened during that time frame. I think we may need to question our usual suspects here.
We may have to question a lot of people, Chase added. Everyone at the party is a suspect. I'm going to have to get a list of the guests from you, Mr. Krupa. Also, we may have to check your place out for evidence. I'm afraid you may have to stay somewhere else for the next few days.
Mr. Krupa looked disappointed, but he accepted this.
I'll give you everything you need. Just find my wife's killer. It's going to be hard to tell my children what happened.
We'll tell them for you. In the meantime, I just need you to think of anything or anyone who might have had something to do with your wife's death, Chase said. Are you sure she didn't have any enemies? Did anyone ever make a threat toward her?
Mr. Krupa shook his head. I can't recall anything like that. She never mentioned being threatened by anyone. She did have issues with some other local business owners in the past, but nothing happened recently.
Did anyone in the past threaten to kill her?
No, the threats were pretty harmless. They threatened to end her business, do better than her, and all of that. No one ever threatened to kill her.
As Chase kept asking him questions and the others listened, Pippa looked around the area. The Krupas lived in a very cushy neighborhood where everyone had big houses, expensive cars, and a pool or two in their backyard. The victim was no exception to this rule. Whoever had killed her probably wasn't someone hurting for money. No one had mentioned anything being stolen, and Mrs. Krupa clearly hadn't been fighting anyone. Chase would have mentioned something about a struggle. From what it looked like, this had been an inside job. Nothing on the outside had been disturbed, so the killer had to be someone at the party. Mrs. Krupa had nailed her killer down, and it would make sense. The butlers were in the house at the time, so it was possible they could have killed her. The only thing she didn't know was why. There was no one coming forward with information about why she died. No one had given her a motive.
Well, that's why we interview people. Someone killed her, and we need to know why before we can nail them. Makes perfect sense.
Hey, Pip. Mary Beth approached her. Chase got everything he needed for now.
Did he find a motive?
That's the one thing he doesn't have. The butlers have agreed to be questioned, though no one is claiming he did it, she explained. What are you thinking right now?
The killer was definitely someone at the party. Look around this yard. She pointed to the area. Nothing has been disturbed here. The rose bushes are fine. I don't see any muddy footprints. No cracks in the windows, no tampering with the door. Let's be real. We're dealing with someone who came to the party and ended up killing the host. Accident or not, they succeeded.
Well, then that does nail the butlers. They were in the house the entire time, according to the husband, Mary Beth said. She fell from those steps around 8:30 or so. That means whoever poisoned her did it well before that time. Which brings us to the ultimate question. Did the butler do it? Mary Beth tried to answer but couldn't.
You think there's more to this, don't you?
Pippa patted her shoulder. If there's one thing I've learned since becoming a detective, Miss Pearson, is that there is always more to every case. I'm willing to bet this case is no exception to the rule.
Well, We shall see, Mary Beth responded. Deep down, she had a feeling Pippa was right.
Chapter 2. Portman's Creamery, 4 o'clock a.m. The police were still at the Krupa's residence, but Chase had decided to call it a night. He went back with everyone to Portman's Creamery so they could have some privacy. He had heard enough from Mr. Krupa to put together a scenario. If anyone could figure this out, it was the girls of Portman's Creamery. He would continue to give bits and pieces he heard, but they would get further than he would. It was what he expected. He didn't know what it was about them, but they got the job done. Somewhere between their day jobs and night classes, they made time for cases. It was incredible, seeing that half of them were going to grad school, but still found time to help him. They all had their own interests that they were pursuing and were using the money they got from both jobs to pay for school. Right then, he was watching as they tried to study for their different classes. Becca was reading something on American art from the 1700s. Pippa was working through equations and diagrams. Stacy was trying to do accounting while looking up things on the internet. And Mary Beth was reading short stories for her next big paper. Winky didn't go to school, but she saved her money for future endeavors. The same went with Chrissy and Irene. They had come a long way since starting the business years before. Since Chase had met them, they had gained a reputation for themselves. It seemed mysteries followed them wherever they went. "Thanks for trying to help, guys. I'm sorry I had to drag you out of bed for it," Chase murmured as they studied around him. "I wish I could say this case was wrapped up, but it's not. I swear, when the chief told me about it, I thought it would be done with. I thought I could handle it for now, but I think I'll need extra help."
"Things are never that easy for us," Irene offered, handing him a spoon. "I don't think any of us is going back to sleep after this. At least, I don't plan on sleeping. You have me on a case now."
"I still have homework to do," Mary Beth muttered, her nose deep in her book. "I can take this time to catch up with everything. Besides, between cases and writing research papers, I prefer cases."
"Even if I did sleep, I would not have that dream again," Winky added.
"Oh, well, a new case is always welcome, and you know we'll solve it." "Yeah, you will." He decided to try and eat. The case had taken his appetite away, but he still wanted something to fill him up. Though they were closed to the public, Irene would always allow him to get whatever he wanted if he had a case which bothered him. It didn't matter what time it was. If he needed ice cream and time to discuss the case, they were there to give him both. He usually liked ice cream sundaes, though he would play around with them when he had a tough case. At that moment, he was poking at it. Chrissy had made him a new sundae with chocolate ice cream and hot fudge on top, with marshmallows, chopped nuts, and whipped cream. Normally, he liked the new creations and would eat them up. That night, however, his ice cream was starting to melt because he had barely touched it. He had played around with it a little too much.
"Are you sure you want that, Chase? It's pretty cold outside," Chrissy asked.
"I can just give you a scoop of something else, or I can make you coffee. You don't look that impressed with the sundae."
"No, the sundae is all right. I'm just thinking about the Krupa case," he sighed. "I've talked with everyone I could find. This woman doesn't appear to have enemies. She's on good terms with everyone in her family. She gets along with her friends. She was someone they all loved. She nails her killer, yet not a single person is stepping forward. I have nowhere to go with this."
"Well, that's why you came here," Stacy reminded him. "You came to find someone to help you with the case. Don't worry about a thing, Chase. We'll get to the bottom of it."
"Yeah, I know. Thanks again. I'm glad you guys were willing to come out there to the crime scene in the middle of the night," he began, digging into his sundae. "Though truth be told, I wasn't sleeping much either. I was at home, sitting by the fire and reading the latest crime novel when I got the call. I was hoping I could wait till morning to tell you. For once, the chief asked me to bring you over before I could ask him. I hope I didn't disturb anything."
"Hey, we were all toasty and warm in bed, too, but that's okay. I like being woken up in the middle of the night to catch killers. I can always have another dream of the 1788 Olympics," Winky said sincerely. "A crime needs to be solved, and we're the ones to do it. Lay it on us, Chase. What do you have, and what do you want us to look for?"
"I have the list of the four butlers," Chase explained. "The quick background check on all of them came out clean. None of them has ever tried drugs, had any problems, nothing of that sort. They're still running a more thorough check, but I doubt we'll see much change. Bernard has been with the family the longest. Then we have Thomas after him. Then Henry came, and finally Simon rounded out the whole group. Each one has the same chores to do.
They were all at the party, and they all witnessed the victim falling down the stairs. Kurt Krupa has 8 children with his first wife, so I guess that's why he needed so many butlers and maids.
God, tell me we don't have to question the maids, too, Stacy sighed. That's far too many suspects to narrow down.
Right now, I'm concerned about the 4 butlers. I don't think Mrs. Krupa would have written everything while she was dying. She figured something was wrong and took some time to write the killer's name, Chase commented.
She didn't write the killer's name down, though. She didn't put a single name, just that the butler did it,
Becca reminded them.
I'm guessing the reason she didn't do that is because the killer might have been nearby. She might have been scared of them, so she kept it brief. The only problem is, it makes things harder, not easier. I think we might need to look into the victim's past first. There could be something about her which might be a lead.
She sells soap and stuff like that, doesn't she? Mary Beth asked.
I remember her husband saying something about her having issues in the past.
That's true, but he also said those were in the past. She hasn't had issues since, Pippa told her. Of course, we don't know if he's hiding something or not. I think we do need to get a look into that business of hers. If she's local, chances are we might find some reviews or something. She's successful enough to throw this fancy party, so naturally someone out there must like her stuff.
I can search for all that, Stacy exclaimed. It'll beat having to do all this counting for class. I'll check out anything which mentions her and see if there's anyone who hated her products.
She went over to the corner to get her laptop and turned it on.
Maybe I can get started now. We'll see what's really going on with this woman.
See what people are saying about her, Stace. I'm going to question the first of our butlers tomorrow, Chase stated. They seem to be in shock right now. In fact, they're the only ones who are reacting the way I expected them to. I don't know if it's because they're shocked over her death or the fact that she fingered one of them as the murderer. I told them I would get to the bottom of everything. They can't stay in the house right now since it's a crime scene. We've set them up in a hotel nearby and told them we'd let them know when they could come back. In the meantime, Mr. Krupa is staying with a relative nearby. The rest of the family has been informed of what happened. We've gotten some information on most of the party guests. It seems like the majority were former customers who were looking forward to the new line of soaps. Most of them bought something from her.
It sounds like she was very popular. I've been looking up her stuff online, and there are many links to click, Stacy said, staring at the computer screen. Mrs. Krupa has a lot of things here. That pumpkin latte body lotion sounds fantastic, and it's on sale.
A pumpkin latte body lotion? Winky asked.
Wow, people are coming up with all kinds of strange things these days. Is there anything floral-scented on that site?
Oh, she's got a lot of floral-scented stuff. This lavender soap she's selling sounds heavenly, and it's good for people who have sensitive skin, Stacy gushed. I need to get some of this stuff.
You can buy all that stuff later. We're on a case, Irene reminded her. Does the website have anything to help us with the case?
So far, there isn't a whole lot, but she does have a blog. She mostly talks about all the new soap and lotion she's making, though. Her last entry was made 3 days ago. Here's what she said. Stacy began to read it out loud.
Well, it's fall, and that means we're getting new items. I'll be putting some of my spring and summer items on sale for 3 weeks. After that, these items will no longer be in stock. I just want to give you an idea of what's coming up. There will be several new scented soaps. My favorite I've made now has to be pumpkin latte. I'm also experimenting with peppermint for anyone who wants Christmas-scented things now. In case anyone is wondering, yes, I make vegan products. Instead of goat's milk, I use coconut milk. I never use animal parts in my soaps, fragrances, or lotions. One last piece of news. I'm having a party to sell my new items. If you are in the area, please send me the form linked below so I know how many people I have to cater for. Thank you, and I hope to see you there.
Stacy leaned back in her chair.
That doesn't sound suspicious or horrible to me. She seems more like a friendly businesswoman.
Has she mentioned anything in older entries? Chrissy asked.
No, she's still talking about soap and lotion. I also checked out her store and saw nothing out of the ordinary. She's careful to mention what ingredients she uses in her soaps. This site is pretty well laid out, and the reviews are glowing. Honestly, I can't figure out who would want to kill this woman. I don't think it's a suicide either. Why would she commit suicide? She has so much going on right now, and she seemed happy.
A lot of people seem happy when they really aren't, Winky commented.
I agree with you, though. This is not a suicide, and I don't think it's an accident either. This just doesn't seem like a suicide or accidental death. Something else is going on.
Well, the last comment on her latest blog came from someone named Thea Kinsey, Stacy said, clicking on it and reading it out loud. I can't wait to see you at the party. Your stuff is always amazing. You know you'll have at least one buyer there. If we can get a hold of this Thea Kinsey, maybe we can find out more about Mrs. Krupa. Her husband seems pretty lost right now. Our best bet would be to get in touch with the customer, Pippa suggested. Judging from the comment, this isn't the first time she's bought something. I'm still compiling a list of all the partygoers, Chase said. I'm also waiting on the autopsy report. If we know how the poison got into Mrs. Krupa's body, we'll be able to figure out who did it.
Are we sure Mrs. Krupa nailed her killer? I mean, she was poisoned, Winky continued. She was probably thinking a million thoughts at that moment.
That's true, but I do think she was lucid enough that she could write out who did it, Irene countered. She knew something was wrong and wrote that down so someone else could figure it out. I think I agree with Pippa. We should talk to some of the regular customers. They probably know something we don't know. Everyone says they didn't see her eat or drink anything, but that doesn't mean she couldn't have done it in private.
Man, for someone who is well known, she didn't get too many comments on her page, Stacy said. She gets a lot of hits, but hardly any comments on her blog posts. However, this one is kind of interesting. Apparently, Mrs. Krupa stopped selling in farmers markets because she had some bad customers and experiences. According to this post, she was forced to sell in a dark corner of the market and didn't make much of a profit as a result.
No one would make a profit if they were forced to sell in the dark, Mary Beth stated.
Seriously, I don't blame her for being upset over that, Becca added. If someone thought to put me and my artwork in a dark area, I'd be pretty ticked off. I work hard to put all this together. If it's all worth nothing, then I would stop selling at farmers markets too.
I am more curious about the bad customers, Chrissy piped up. Maybe one of them might have gotten angry enough to do this.
Well, I don't know about that. It seems like the customers wanted her to lower her prices, but she refused. Apparently, she already had it on sale, and she didn't want to bring it down anymore. Her materials cost a lot of money, so she felt like she wasn't charging enough.
I can see that, too, Becca sighed. Art supplies cost a fortune these days. I can't imagine how much ingredients to make soap and lotions would be.
She definitely worked with Lye if she was making soap, Pippa said. Throw in some more materials and it does cost a pretty penny. She was right. She wasn't charging enough for this. It's not the worst story about customers I've heard. Still, maybe someone was so ticked off they may have actually done something about it.
Wait, we already know who did it, Mary Beth pointed out. She wrote down her killer's name on a cocktail napkin.
Not really. She just said the butler did it. There's a lot to take in here, Pippa responded. It could be the butler or it could be someone else. A disgruntled customer, a partygoer, maybe her husband, or even another family member could have done this.
Nah, it's not the husband, Winky shook her head. He may not look like a grieving husband, but he's got nothing to do with this.
Why are you so sure about that, Winky? Chase asked. In fact, how are you sure of any of this? She did peg her killer, so I'm starting with the butlers. If I hear anything new, I'll let you know.
I take it you don't want seconds? Chrissy watched as he threw the plastic bowl and spoon away. Keep us posted, Chase. We'll get to the bottom of this.
I know you will. Have a good night.
As soon as Chase left, Irene turned to the rest of the group.
I'm with you guys. I have a feeling this case is more complicated than it appears. Mrs. Krupa died for a reason, and we need to figure out what that is.
I don't see how getting upset over not lowering prices would be motive for murder, Pippa said. Our killer moved quickly. They pulled this off in half an hour. We need to know if anyone left the room and went upstairs. If it was one of the four butlers, that's even better.
Chase said he is going to interview them tomorrow, Chrissy stated. Maybe we can sit in on some of the interviews. We barely got info on the butlers themselves.
Well, she does mention each one of them a few times in her blog, Stacy added. They apparently help her with making soap. Thomas is the one who buys her the lye and helps mix everything together. He's made soap she's selling on this website, too. Check out this one that looks like a bumblebee. It's a vegan soap made with coconut milk. She showed them the picture. She does credit him for helping her. I wonder if she gave him some of the profits.
Now we're going somewhere with this, Pippa exclaimed. Do you think she might have been keeping all the profits to herself? That's a good enough motive for murder. Maybe Thomas was fed up with being the assistant and wanted his share.
He's not the only one, then,
Bernard, Henry, and Simon also have been credited for making some of the soaps. She kept reading the rest of the blog. In fact, Simon was with her at the last farmer's market. He sold more of the soaps than she did. Who's willing to bet he didn't get his share?
Our butlers might have motives after all. Maybe she wasn't completely out of it, Becca suggested. I think we should wait a little and find out what the autopsy report says. Once we figure out how she died, we can get a little closer to finding the killer.
Well, Chase has promised to keep us in the loop, Irene commented as Chase got up and threw away his bowl and spoon.
We'll do what we can on our end.
I'm counting on you, Chase tossed over his shoulder as he headed toward the door. I'll give you everything I find out. Just help me solve this case. I will, Pippa promised. I'm not letting this one go cold.
I know you won't.
With that, he turned and left. The case was in their hands.
Chapter 3. The next evening slowed down some of the investigation. It was a school night, so the girls were in their classes for the most part. Pippa was sitting at her desk and trying to doodle on the page of notes. She made a list of the things she knew while pretending to care about ionic and covalent bonds. If someone looked in her direction, she pretended she was deep in thought about protons and electrons. In reality, she wouldn't know what a proton looked like if it walked up to her and said hello. It was a shame, because she needed to focus on this. She had exams coming up, and she was nowhere near prepared for them. Pippa loved majoring in chemical and civil engineering when she was doing her undergraduate degree, but it seemed so much harder back then. It took her a little longer to finish than others. She had to deal with studying and working part-time while keeping her grades on top. Her social life was one thing which was sacrificed in the process. Since she'd started graduate school, she felt a little more relaxed. She opted to get her master's degree in chemistry. Work would not be difficult to find with two engineering degrees, and she had already passed her PE exam. But she wanted more. She wanted to expand her horizons, as her mother liked to call it. Chemistry had always been one of her favorite classes, and she wanted to do more. Despite how much she liked her courses, she also wanted to help out with the case. She felt terrible that she was the only one who had not done much investigating. Stacy spent most of her free time searching Alicia Krupa's shop and blog. She had found some awful comments made, but they had come from people who were clearly annoying. 80% of the bad commenters couldn't spell properly. Becca and Mary Beth had taken time to look over Chase's notes with Chrissy and Irene. Winky hadn't gotten much done, but she was thinking about what she had heard and seen. In her mind, the killer was not someone so obvious. If a butler had done it, then someone would be able to point out who hated her the most. Since the butlers apparently loved her, then chances were unlikely they did it. Pippa also entertained the fact that it could have been an accident. Still, if that was the case, then the butlers who loved her would have confessed to it. One of them would have probably mentioned leaving something poisonous nearby. That way, she could believe Mrs. Krupa could accidentally drink poison. There was nothing about the scene which made it feel like an accident, though. Her mind tried to process how Mrs. Krupa could have died during that party. It seemed like she had consumed something which sped up her untimely demise. She was trying to think of any chemical mixtures which could have done this. Unfortunately, there were far too many options. She needed the coroner's report first. Class seemed to be never-ending that evening, and she was ready to get out. Normally, she would have headed back home, but Chase was going to question suspects. The butlers had agreed to be interviewed, but asked that it be done at night. Despite the house being closed down, they still felt like they had duties to see to during the day. They were trying to help Mr. Krupa and anyone else out the best way they could. Chase had asked for her to come along and observe in the background. The girls were usually not asked to question suspects themselves unless they were certain of something. This time, the chief had asked that they stay in the background. It wasn't that he didn't trust them. He just wanted them to pay attention to what was being said. Pippa had no issues with this. Chase could do the questioning while she thought up scenarios. After what felt like a million years, class let out, and Pippa headed straight to the police station. Chase was waiting for her at the front and helped her to get inside. Once she had been cleared to enter, he took her to the back where the interrogation room was. She waved and greeted the other detectives and workers who were in the building. Although she wasn't close to any of them, she still tried to stay on their good side. She didn't want to cause any trouble with anyone. Her team were just detectives who were hired when needed, which meant she had to be on her best behavior. "I'm so glad you were able to make it," Chase began. "A lot has gone down since the last time I saw you. This new stuff might help you out."
Lay it on me, Chase. I've been stuck in class all night, and I need something to distract me from acids and bases. My head is spinning from looking at the periodic table so much. What did you find out? Pippa asked. For starters, I have the preliminary report from the coroner, and your suspicions were right. Mrs. Krupa was poisoned, Chase explained. I'm still waiting on toxicology reports, though. He said he would get back to me as soon as possible. Once he figures out what she last ate or drank, we can figure out how the poison got inside of her. You are sure she consumed it? Pippa asked. Definitely. She was foaming at the mouth, so somehow it got in there. I don't know if it was forced down her throat or if she drank it without knowing. He looked down at the files he was holding. The coroner didn't find much inside her nasal passages or anywhere else. Once he figures out what was in her stomach, we'll move on. Right now, I have to talk with our first suspect. Who do you have in there? We have the oldest of our butlers, Bernard. The other three are looking after Mr. Krupa and his family. They keep asking when they can go back to their house. I told them I'm not sure, but I will try to solve the case quickly. Anyway, Bernard's been waiting for a while. I asked if he wanted to come in, and he was willing. Of the four, he seems to be the most shaken up by this. He said he's known the Krupas for a very long time. He doesn't know who would want to hurt Alicia, and he insists it's not him. That's what they all insist. Every single suspect we run into claims they're innocent. Then we find out they're guilty. Pippa sighed. All right, I'll wait out here. You try to dig out whatever information you can. See you in a bit. Bernard was an older man, of at least 60, and he barely acknowledged when Chase entered the room. Pippa stood outside, but she was able to listen and observe from behind the window. As soon as Chase sat down, Bernard snapped out of his reverie. He had been looking down at his phone and sighing any time he saw something. She had no idea what he was looking at, but she could make some observations from the way he looked. He was well-kempt, had his shirt tucked into his pants, and his nails were filed. He had combed his hair, wore thin-rimmed glasses, and had no facial hair whatsoever. No doubt about it that he was wearing fancy cologne and was lathered in scented body lotion. He was well-groomed, and he clearly took care of his appearance. Pippa made a mental note of this as Chase sat down at the table. "Thanks for meeting with me," Chase began. "First of all, let me say I'm sorry for your loss. I know this is taking some time to process. Despite all this, we do need to get on with the investigation. The sooner we can figure out what happened, the sooner we can catch the killer." "Of course. I know you have a job to do," Bernard nodded. Pippa noted that he did have a slight southern accent, which shocked her. She was expecting him to sound British, like the butlers in movies and old TV shows. She listened carefully to what he had to say. "I'm just trying to figure out why someone would do this. Mrs. Krupa was a close friend to everyone. She would not hurt a fly." "Do you know who would want to hurt her?" "No. I know some people were upset that she stopped selling in farmers' markets, but that was because profits weren't coming in. As she went to more fairs, she found herself completely exhausted and frustrated by them. Everyone was demanding too much out of her. I remember the last incident that led to this decision. There were too many customers harassing her. They had so many requests, and she told them she couldn't fill them all. That made them upset, so the harassing continued. It was getting on her nerves. She even looked at me and asked if this was worth it. She was not going to budge since it took her a long time to make everything. The customers got angry and left." "Did they make a scene or anything?" "No, they just went off without saying a word. I can't blame Mrs. Krupa for that. The soaps and lotions take a great deal of effort to make. When they're already on sale, she's getting less for what she's doing. People ask her to make her products even cheaper. Sadly, that's not the only time something like this happened. It was going on for so long that she finally called it quits," he explained. "I've helped her in the past with the process. It takes some time, but the results are outstanding. The majority of the customers are wonderful, though. I can't imagine why any of them would hurt her. I know she wrote, 'The butler did it,' but I don't believe it. That's where you can help us. When was the last time you saw her alive?" "Around 8 p.m. That was the last time anyone saw her alive. She said she was going to freshen up. She did stop by the kitchen to tell me to start serving dessert. That might have been right after she made her announcement to the guests. Then she went upstairs." "So you were downstairs the entire time?" "Yes, sir. I had to stay downstairs with the rest of the help. All the maids and Miss Ellis, one of the cooks, can vouch for that. I was trying to decide which cheesecake to cut up when I heard the screaming from the other room. I ran in time to see Mrs. Krupa fall down the stairs.
Mr. Krupa was the one who found the note. My mind went straight to Thomas, Henry, and Simon. I don't understand why they would kill her. We're like a family, so the idea of any of them doing that. He trailed off and looked down at his hands. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember everything from that night and forget it at the same time. Such an awful event. I promise I will do everything to find out who did this. I need everything you can remember. We will be talking to the other butlers as well as the rest of the staff. Did you see Mrs. Krupa take anything with her to eat or drink when she left? No, she left empty-handed. I don't think it could have been in the food or drinks we served. Otherwise, you would have more dead people here. You're right. All the same, we will be checking it out. We're still collecting evidence from the house, and I will let you know what happens. Is there anything else you think I need to know? Was there any problem between the Krupas, for example? Oh, no. They loved each other. Mr. Krupa finally found happiness with her. In fact, this party we had was just one of several we had at the house. We were celebrating her success for the last couple of days. I didn't think her decision about the farmer's market would affect anything. Most of the customers thought it was a good idea. This was especially great for people who lived out of the state. She could mail things over to them and get profit in that way. The online business was booming, so we saw that as a good reason to celebrate. Was there anyone who didn't? If they didn't, they never mentioned it. Truthfully, I don't know why anyone would go after her. I don't remember her having fights with Thomas, Henry, or Simon. She might have been upset over something small, but it wasn't enough to commit murder. Plus, that would be terrible for business. What do you mean? We're not just her butlers, you see. We're also her business partners. When Mrs. Krupa first started, she was struggling to get the mixtures, so we stepped in. She told us what we needed to do, and we worked with her. We helped her out a lot with her business and never complained. She even gave all of us some of the profits. That rules out money as the motive, Pippa thought. Bernard seemed to be sincere, but it wasn't helping her solve the case. She was having a hard time figuring out what happened. The maids and cook could easily confirm or deny his story. They could tell her where Bernard was and what he had been doing. It still left her with many suspects to weed out. The other three butlers were still to be questioned, and they also had other partygoers who could be suspects. Mrs. Krupa's note seemed to make things obvious, but Pippa had a nagging feeling there was more to it. She watched as Chase finished up with Bernard and came out to her. "Well, he seems like he's telling the truth," he began. "I'll know for sure once I check his story. He does admit to helping her with the soaps in the farmer's market snafu. Apparently, they all were a part of her business. As for who'd do it, he has no idea. That's the most frustrating part. All I need to know is how she died, and we can slowly piece stuff together. I did find out one thing, though. If he did kill her, it wasn't because she wasn't giving him money. They probably earned their share. Plus, they probably get paid for helping around the house. These butlers have a pretty nice life. They get to live in a fancy house, help a woman run her business, get some of the profits, and the people they work for seem nice, too. Yes, they're servants, but they're far better off than some people, Pippa said. I bet the other three would say the same thing Bernard did. Do you think he's hiding something? It's really hard to say, Pip. He told me pretty much everything I already knew. If you're right, then maybe questioning the butlers might not be much help. I think we need to dig deeper into the Krupa's life to get some more information. The butlers might be clean, but maybe the couple is not. Pippa nodded. That's exactly what I was thinking. I told the girls about this before I went to class. Stacy is going through the website again and checking back on anything from the previous years. She's going to note anything which might seem suspicious. She's also planning on buying some of the soaps. She rolled her eyes at the idea of Stacy doing an investigation while also putting so many online items into her checkout cart. Good to see Stacy's got her priorities straight, Chase sighed. Maybe this might lead to something good. Did she find anything unusual? She did read a little bit of the blog and said Mrs. Krupa wrote the usual stuff. She would complain about working too long or about a soap which wasn't coming out right. There wasn't anything there where she said she was being bothered by anyone in particular. She complained about customers but didn't single anyone out. That's just what I feared. What do you think? I'm thinking about the note Mrs. Krupa wrote. I feel like the case should be wrapped up by now, Pippa stated. Even though we have four butlers, there should be some evidence which points out which one did it. The website should have had something. Someone should be calling one of those butlers out for murder. No one's doing a thing, so that's why I'm not buying the note. Yes, Mrs. Krupa most likely wrote it, but this might not be what she meant. What else could she mean by it, Pip? I know she might not have been thinking clearly, but that note was in her hand for a reason. Her husband claims it's her handwriting. We've seen other things she's written, and they look very similar, so I have no doubt she wrote that note. I'm not questioning the authenticity, Chase. I'm just wondering if there's a hidden message in that note, Pippa explained. Anyway, I have to go home. I have a pile of homework and notes to look over and a midterm coming up. I'm working a few night shifts this week and over the weekend, so that sucks. Throw in the case, and my life is now thrown in another direction. I need some sleep, too. You take care of yourself, Pip. Chase started to lead her out. Get some sleep. If you think of anything else, let me know tomorrow. As for me, I'm going to wrap up over here. It's almost time for me to leave, too. I'm going to interview more people tomorrow if you want to come. Of course, if you have too much homework, you don't have to rush over here. No, it's okay. I'll make time. I have a day shift tomorrow, but I can come over at night, she told him. In fact, I think I'll bring Stacy along with me. She's helping me during that day shift. I think she might be able to see something I don't. You can bring whoever you want, Chase said, showing her to the door. He waited until she stepped outside and started to walk to her car. Take care of yourself, though. The case will be solved. I know that, Chase. I'll see you tomorrow, she called as she got inside the car and leaned back in her seat. The interview was not much, but it made her think about other things. She was the only one who believed there was more to the story. If she could just get more evidence, then she could prove it to everyone else. Something is not right with this case. I need to figure out what's really going on. There is a killer out there, and I need to find them. Chapter 4. As it turned out, the next morning, the investigation had taken a new turn. Pippa woke up on time, cleaned up, had her breakfast, and went downstairs to open up when she saw Stacy was already there. She was still poring through the blog as Pippa cleaned up the counters and put down the chairs. It was getting a little annoying, so she snapped her fingers. Stace, I need a little help here. Coming. Stacy closed down the laptop and helped clean the tables. I think I might have found something for this case. Really? Pippa checked the napkin dispensers to make sure they were full. I hope it's something good, because the interview with Bernard didn't lead to anything. He doesn't know anyone who could have hurt her. Well, maybe the people who want to hurt her weren't people she knew well, Stacy explained. They could have been customers who only ordered online. Meaning what? Let me finish up here and I'll show you. Pippa soon saw what she meant. Stacy had seen some things in the blog which proved to be interesting. She pointed out a few comments and posts where Mrs. Krupa had argued with customers. They would leave comments which accused her of being late with deliveries or products not being of good quality. Mrs. Krupa had the patience of a saint with some of the customers. She told them that once it was out of her hands, she couldn't do anything about it. She was willing to give them a refund, but many customers refused that. They only wanted their products. Some of them had given her bad reviews and complaints on other websites. This woman did not have luck with customers in selling things overseas, Pippa noted. I wonder what possessed her to sell internationally, though. I imagine the shipping costs were high enough. No wonder she was upset with the lack of profits. I guess she wanted to sell internationally because she had a fan base outside of the U.S., Stacy told her. She saw it as a way to get more revenue. Not everyone can come to fairs, but a lot of people can shop online. She had fans from the United Kingdom, Canada, throughout Europe, and Australia. She was trying to sell to parts of Asia and South America as well. It makes sense that she would want to sell internationally. If she can't go there herself, then she can send it. That does make sense, Pippa agreed. Still, I don't think someone would fly many miles just to kill her. That just seems like a waste of time. No one would waste money to kill someone just because their product didn't turn out great. You never know with our suspects, Stacy shrugged. I think we just need some more evidence and to hear what the other butlers have to say. We're in luck, because Chase is going to interview the next butler tonight, Pippa commented. He said if you're not busy, you can come along. That would be great. Stacy flipped over the sign on the door so people would know they were open. I know the others have classes or other things to do. Chrissy and Winky are going to take over the night shift. We can go ahead to the station and see what our suspects have to say. Good plan. The day shift seemed to take forever due to the fact that not many people were stopping by for ice cream. They had some customers come in for coffee, but that was about it. Pippa looked down at all the ice cream behind the glass and wondered why she was stuck looking at it. None of it had been scooped up or served to anyone. It would be a shame to waste all of it. She wished they could close down right then and go search for clues. Unfortunately, they needed Chase's help with that. They could not enter the Krupa's residence on their own and would be forced out of the investigation if they broke that rule. For their sake, Irene and Chrissy insisted everyone work with the law. If they did not approve of something, then they would have to find another option. So Pippa spent most of the morning thinking about the case and daydreaming as she cleaned up the counter and tables. The lack of evidence was not helping. Once the day shift was over, they handed their duties over to Winky and Chrissy and headed to the station. They had called Chase ahead of time, and he told them to come over. As with the previous interview, Pippa and Stacy both had to stand outside while Chase interviewed the next butler, Thomas. Unlike Bernard, he was a little bit younger, and he looked a lot more nervous. He was just as well-groomed as Bernard, but they could tell he was sweating hard. He kept dabbing his forehead with a handkerchief and rolling up his shirt sleeves. He also loosened his collar, which Pippa made a note of. This butler was scared about something. He did not want to be in that room, and he was looking at the clock to see what time it was. His shoulders got tense as soon as Chase entered with one of his colleagues. Pippa and Stacy both stood close by so they could hear. "Thank you for meeting with us, Thomas," Chase began. "I know this is quite a shock to you. I'm sure Mrs. Krupa was a wonderful woman. We're still working hard to find out what happened." "It's a shock to everyone, Detective Owen," Thomas said. "I remember that night very well. Mrs. Krupa announced she was going to freshen up. She told me to keep the wine flowing before she went. That must have been probably 3 minutes after she made the announcement. Then she disappeared upstairs. I did as I was told, and then I heard the screaming." "Did you see her take anything to eat or drink before she left?" Chase asked. "No, she didn't ask me to give her anything, and I didn't see her take anything from the table. I asked her if she wanted something 10 minutes before she left. She refused. I assumed she really was going to freshen up, but that might have been code for something else. She's been using codes a lot in public because she didn't want to give away too much."
"What do you mean by that?"
"She took medication 4 times a day, so I assume she might have gone to do that. She hated telling people about it because she assumed they'd think other things. Only those closest to her knew she took medicine," Thomas explained. "I didn't see her take a glass of water, but maybe she had one upstairs."
"Why would she be taking medication?"
"Well, Mrs. Krupa was in a horrible accident 3 years ago. Some teenager was driving recklessly when they rammed into Mrs. Krupa's car. The other driver was killed instantly, and Mrs. Krupa ended up with many injuries. Broken bones, cuts, scrapes, you name it. She needed to have back surgery as well. The medication was to help her aching back. She was much better, but the pain came back every now and then. The doctor suggested she take her medicine so it could help her heal. She was more or less back to normal because of it."
"This was 3 years ago? Chase asked.
"Yes. I came to work for them a year after the accident. In fact, I was hired to help out while she recovered," Thomas said. "It was also around the time Mrs. Krupa decided to get into the soap and lotion-making business. Someone had given her a book on it, and she told me she wanted to try it. Since she was healing, she needed our help. She taught us what to do and showed us what we needed. Before we knew it, we were making all kinds of soaps and making money everywhere. In a way, I think this business helped give her a life. She found a new meaning in everything. Prior to this, she wanted to die but couldn't. The new hobby became a business, and she wanted to show she had survived. She even tried to make amends with the victim's family. The whole thing had been an accident, and she felt so guilty that she had been the one who lived."
"How did the family feel about this?" Chase's partner questioned. "I imagined it was a hard thing for them as well."
"Oh, they accepted her apology. They knew it was an accident and told her she wasn't to blame. Since that time, they've moved to Chicago, and we haven't heard from them since." Thomas shrugged. "I don't think they'd have anything to do with this."
"You do know what she wrote on that napkin, right?" Chase asked.
"Yes, I saw that. I don't know who she was talking about. None of us went upstairs to do anything to her," he explained. "We were either in the dining room or kitchen. We still had to serve the guests their desserts and drinks. I don't remember seeing anyone go upstairs to bother her either."
"I see," Chase responded.
"Now, you were a chef, weren't you?"
"Yes, that's true.
I worked as a chef for 10 years in New York City in an Italian restaurant. I liked it, but I wanted a change in scenery. I felt like I was going nowhere as a chef."
"So you chose to be a butler?"
"It sounds crazy, but it was a much better choice. Alicia couldn't cook for the longest time, and, with all due respect, Kurt is not that great of a cook. Bernard was all right with cooking, and some of the maids are okay.
However, they needed someone with experience. I was the right person for that job.
Would you know if someone had tampered with her food or drink?
Absolutely. I have been in the culinary industry for a long time. I would definitely know if someone changed anything in the cuisine, Thomas replied. However, I can guarantee you that I didn't do anything to her food or drink. I loved Alicia. I would make my best meals for her. No customer in New York can claim they ever got better treatment than she got.
Do you know if the other three had anything against her?
Oh, no. We were like a family, Thomas insisted. We all did our part, and she was always so proud of us. She wanted us to share her success, which is why we divided the profits. We used to join her when she sold at fairs. We helped her keep the record books straight. We even kept her blog and online shop updated. I can't imagine why one of them would hurt her. We all agreed we were being paid fairly, so I don't think it had anything to do with money. I'm not sure what else it could be.
Stacy looked at Pippa.
Well, that's something which could have led to her demise. This woman was taking medication for her back. Someone who knows her schedule would be able to poison her water before she drank it. Throw in the medicine, and it could have caused a horrible reaction.
Who would know her schedule, though? Thomas just said she kept this a secret from most people. It has to be someone in the house, Pippa suggested. Would Mrs. Krupa tell someone else about taking medication?
If it was her, I'd bring it up with a close friend. But who knows? Maybe she could have mentioned it in a side conversation and the killer heard it, Stacy said. Do you really think someone else is responsible? I mean, she wrote "the butler did it" on a napkin. It's like the kind of case you expect us to solve. Everyone always says the butler did it, and our victim actually wrote that down.
Our victim was poisoned. She was probably thinking all kinds of things. Who knows if that's what she meant, Pippa said.
I want to turn over every stone before we nail this person. This is what we have so far. Mrs. Krupa was poisoned according to the coroner's preliminary report. The butlers do admit to helping her with her business, and she did pay them some of the profits. She did purposely stop going to farmers markets due to rude customers and low profit. Now we've learned she was taking medication because she messed up her back in an accident.
Don't forget the accident killed someone, Stacy added.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that as well. Thomas said the family forgave her and didn't keep in touch. If they're all still in Chicago, their story checks out too. They probably wouldn't waste time to come down here and poison a woman. I mean, if they already forgave her, there's no point in getting revenge, Pippa mumbled.
I don't know, Stacy.
We have what the victim wrote, but what if we nail the wrong person? I'm never going to forgive myself if that happens.
I think we should wait till the toxicology report comes out. Once we know what went in her stomach, we can figure out what she ate and what really poisoned her, Stacy said, looking into the room.
Chase had finished up with Thomas and was shaking his hand.
Well, looks like we have some more information. We just don't know what to do with it yet.
Chase went over to them.
I take it you overheard everything.
We heard enough. Our butler, who used to be a chef, gave us a lot. Did he tell you the name of the person killed in the accident? Pippa asked.
He admits he doesn't remember. Mrs. Krupa never wanted to talk about the accident after it happened. As years passed, everyone forgot about it. Anyway, I did get a text from my colleague who confirmed what Thomas said. Mrs. Krupa took pain meds for her back. I'll get a copy of everything she was taking and where she got the meds from. Once I get toxicology reports back, I can see if they did affect her when she was poisoned.
In the meantime, we still have two more butlers to interview. Did Thomas know why Mrs. Krupa would write that on her napkin? Stacy asked.
He was baffled just like Bernard was. He's hoping one of the others isn't the killer, but who knows? He doesn't think any of them had any relation to the accident or is bent on revenge.
Chase shrugged. I'm going to try and find out who that teen was who died in the accident. That might lead to something.
You think she might have died because of revenge?
She could have died for numerous reasons, guys, Pippa stated. We need a starting point here. The first thing is to find out what killed her. Yeah, she was poisoned. We nailed that part. We just need to know with what and how. No one is claiming to have followed her, nor did they see if she had anything to eat or drink after dinner. Thomas is the only one who usually prepared her meals, but he is adamant he did nothing to them.
Just because no one saw her eat doesn't mean she wasn't eating anything, Stacy rebutted. She might have had something waiting for her in her room. She could have been on a diet and trying to cheat on it.
Her husband didn't mention anything about her being on a diet, Jace said. Still, that's a good point. She might have taken something upstairs before anyone came in. Maybe she was keeping a cupcake or something so no one could take it from her.
Yeah, that makes some sense. Winky has hidden cupcakes and ice cream in her room before.
I can't tell you the number of times I've gone into her room and found pools of melted ice cream on the carpet. Pippa sighed. All right. You might have to check out all the food which was thrown out or eaten. See if anyone else has checked in sick. I'm way ahead of you on that. The lab is inspecting all the food, but so far nothing has come up. No one else has claimed to be ill from it. I think whatever Mrs. Krupa ate was something only she ate. If you're right, she probably did hide something in her room. I doubt she'll leave it lingering for hours like Winky, but she kept it up there so she could have it later. So go check that house out again. In the meantime, we'll head on back and tell the others what we found out, Stacy suggested. Maybe they can help clear some stuff up. I'll do what I can, Chase promised. I know I keep saying that to everyone, but that's all I can do right now. I feel tied down and hopeless. Let us know if anything changes, Pippa said as they walked out. As always, Chase counted on them. They had more information, although it didn't solve the case. Once again, she was stumped and had no idea where to look next. Chapter 5. Pippa and Stacy arrived in time to see the others closing up for the day. Irene had flipped over the open sign as soon as they got in and locked the door. Judging by the silence, they knew something had happened. As the others cleaned up, Pippa and Stacy looked at each other, waiting for someone to speak up. The silence was becoming awkward, and soon all they heard was the sound of Winky squeezing whipped cream onto her sundae. "How are things going with the case?" Mary Beth broke the silence as the two of them got settled down. Stacy opened her laptop again while Pippa made herself an ice cream sundae. It was too cold outside to have ice cream, but she needed something to relieve her stress. The case was getting stranger and more complicated by the minute. "We've had our ups and downs, mostly downs. We found some information which could lead to motive, though. Thomas used to be a chef before he came to work for the Krupas. He was the one who cooked her meals, and he claims he didn't tamper with anything. However, it does not help us on narrowing our suspects down," Stacy explained. "I'm going to see if there's anything on her shop again." "What good is that going to do? Neither Thomas nor Bernard has admitted to killing her," Pippa said, digging into her sundae. "They both claim Henry and Simon couldn't have done it either. All four butlers have been vouched for as either being in the kitchen or dining room the night Mrs. Krupa died. That doesn't rule them out as suspects, of course. It could mean the killer poisoned her food or drink well before she went upstairs." "Do you think they might be covering for each other?" Winky asked. "I've thought about it, but what would they be covering? I haven't heard anyone say they hate each other. They get along, work together, and are shocked that anyone would accuse them. I'm trying to keep an open mind about this, but they seem like they aren't the killers."
"Maybe it's an Agatha Christie-type mystery," Becca exclaimed. "You could have another murder on the Orient Express in your hands. Maybe they all killed her."
"That's expected out of an Agatha Christie story, though. We're not leaving in a mystery book here," Chrissy replied. "Not that I'm ruling out that possibility. It's just that if they all did it, wouldn't she have mentioned that in her note? Wouldn't there be something each of them would hate about her? I haven't seen any reason she'd be considered evil."
"Well, did he say anything interesting at all?" Irene asked. "Is there anything which could possibly be a motive for our killer?"
"Thomas did mention something about her being in an accident years ago," Pippa responded. "Apparently, the other driver died, and Mrs. Krupa suffered from an awful back injury. She was still recovering and taking medication for it. I thought that might have been a motive. We were thinking maybe the killer knew about this, and they might have used her injury to their advantage. They poisoned her and hoped it would react with her medication."
"That's a big leap to make," Irene stated. "Again, we have all these possibilities, but no solid proof on anything. I was hoping maybe she'd mention something on her blog."
"Well, her blog is relatively boring, save for the fact that she has new soaps out every week," Stacy said. "This Thea Kinsey must be a huge fan, though. She's commented on a lot of the posts. Sometimes she's the only one who's commenting on them. It's always positive. She's always looking forward to new soaps and fragrances, and apparently loves everything. She gave every item a 5-star rating and claims to use them all regularly."
"Is she someone who lives here?" Pippa asked.
"She must have been if she was going to see Mrs. Krupa at the party," Stacy answered. "Anyway, most of the posts were boring, but I came across this one from about a year ago." She clicked on the page and pulled up the post. Everyone gathered around her as she read it out loud. "It's been a long road, but I've recovered from my accident. The back pain is still there, but it's nowhere as bad as the pain I feel for the victim's family. If I could turn back the hands of time, I would.
It was a horrible accident neither of us could have prevented. I've done all I can for the family, and I hope they forgive me. Earlier, the younger son told me I was going to hell for what I did to his sister. I know he was reacting out of grief, but I felt a pain inside my soul. What if I really am going to hell for this? I never meant for it to happen. I never wanted this.
Wow, Irene whispered. Just wow. That was not what I was expecting to read.
She sounds like she's suffering from survivor's guilt, Pippa said. The little brother was emotional and probably blurted that out, but that doesn't mean he's innocent. I wonder if he had anything to do with this.
Well, if the family is in Chicago now, why would a younger brother come all the way here to kill someone? Becca asked. It's been like 3 years. If he wanted to kill her, why wait until now? For all we know, he just probably said it out of frustration. He's grieving still. He probably wasn't thinking straight and just yelled out the first thing in his mind.
The younger brother could also be really young, a child, Mary Beth added. He wouldn't be able to trek all the way here without some help. Plus, poisoning Mrs. Krupa seemed to take a little more skill and stealth. Not saying kids can't be smart, but this doesn't look like the work of a kid.
This poor woman has been suffering with guilt for a long time, Stacy mused. I guess someone wanted her to suffer in another way. Aside from the accident, she doesn't seem to have done anything wrong in her life. She didn't mention marital problems at all. She complained about a few customers wanting more than she offered, and some customers whined that she didn't lower prices for them, but that's all. It's pretty tame in comparison to what some customers can do.
Would a customer be whiny enough to kill, though? Becca asked.
Like you said, that's pretty tame. I know customers can be assholes and can threaten stuff, but very rarely do they follow up on the threat. I think we're looking at all this from the wrong direction. Did Chase find anything new on the butlers? I mean, she did pin the crime on one of them after all.
As of yet, there's nothing new, Pippa informed the group, looking at the folder Chase had given her. She had flipped through it several times in hopes of finding something. Each one started working at different times for the Krupas. The background checks on them show they are pretty clean. Bernard and Henry have families who live in other parts of the country. Simon is a pretty religious man. As she said that, she thought back on what Stacy said. Hold on. The younger brother did mention he wanted Mrs. Krupa to go to hell. You think the victim's family might have been religious like Simon is?
What are you saying? That Simon is somehow tied with the victim's family?
Mary Beth wanted to know.
That's a big leap right there, Pip. People tell other people to go to hell all the time.
I've done it. We've all done it. You have to talk to Simon to find out what he knows. That's who Chase plans to interview next, Pippa told her as her phone went off. She picked it up and excused herself. Hey, this is Pippa.
Pippa, it's Chase. I'm still waiting on the coroner's final report, but one of my colleagues managed to collect something from the Krupa's bedroom. There was a cup in the trash with a little bit of hot chocolate left in it. So far, the fingerprints on it belonged to Mrs. Krupa and the barista who made the drink. However, what's inside was the interesting thing. There wasn't a whole lot, but we did find traces of rat poison in it.
Rat poison? Pippa looked confused. Why on earth would Mrs. Krupa drink hot chocolate in secret, and why was she drinking it anyway? That wasn't one of the drinks at the party.
No, it wasn't. Everyone else had wine, soda, coffee, tea, or water. There's no hot chocolate on the night's menu.
I don't know why she had some, but we can probably find that out. Anyway, we found the murder weapon. I have a feeling Mrs. Krupa wouldn't spike her own drink. I doubt the barista who made it had anything to do with it either. Which means our killer probably dosed it well before Mrs. Krupa took a sip. That can help give us a good time frame on when the killer struck.
So she was killed by rat poison. That's an interesting choice. I would have guessed cyanide or something else would be more likely, Pippa said. I'm also guessing she wasn't taking her medication with the hot chocolate. You think you can pull some more DNA from the cup?
It's in the lab as we speak. I'm going to talk to Simon and Henry at around 2 tomorrow. Do you want to come along?
Don't I always? She joked. I'll see you there.
Thanks, Pip. See if anyone else wants to join you. I can use all the help on this I can get. Well, I'll see you guys tomorrow at 2. If anything happens, I'll let you know.
Thanks, Chase. See you then.
Did you say hot chocolate? Stacy asked as Pippa hung up the phone. She was still browsing through Mrs. Krupa's blog and checking out the soaps.
Yeah, why?
Well, this might explain why she was drinking it during her own party. Stacy pulled up another blog post. I think she was trying to make a new soap which smelled like peppermint hot chocolate. Listen to this post. She cleared her throat. So I ran a poll with my customers and asked them what they would like to see in the new winter line. It turns out peppermint hot chocolate took the top spot. It should be a great scent because winter, peppermint, and hot chocolate are a perfect combination. For the next few days, I'm going to hit up coffee shops and get me some hot chocolate. We'll say I'm trying to get a feel for what my new soap should smell like.
Well, that does explain why she had hot chocolate in her room. She was trying to get a feel for it.
Mary Beth rolled her eyes.
All right, so we know why she had the hot chocolate. We know what the poison was. We just need to find out who did it.
Maybe it's someone who doesn't want to have hot chocolate smelling soap, Pip adjusted. Anyway, I think I need to get over to the station tomorrow and see what our other two butlers have to say. One of them might admit to giving her the drink.
I wonder why the killer went with rat poison, Becca said. Was it something which was just lying around? I know we're looking at this as premeditated, but it might not have been.
Are you suggesting the Krupas had some rat poison lying around? Stacy asked. Maybe the killer was tempted when they saw that. They decided to slip it in when Mrs. Krupa wasn't around. Then you'd be right, Becca. This no longer becomes a premeditated murder if that's the case. So what you're saying is the killer probably came to the party for some reason, but decided to commit murder when they had the chance? Pippa questioned. Hey, it's also possible. The butlers probably knew about her new scent because they helped her out. It would have been very easy for one of them to slip the poison in and mix it before she took a sip.
Didn't they claim they weren't upstairs?
They could have done it before she took the drink to her room. She probably didn't take a sip until much later. Of course, her hot chocolate would be much colder. I don't know about you guys, but who wants to drink cold hot chocolate?
She could have warmed it up, Mary Beth piped up.
For that to happen, she'd have to go downstairs first. Once she went upstairs, she never came back down until she was dying,
Becca reminded them.
No one saw her take hot chocolate. The only reason she'd have drunk it was if it was already there. Maybe she does like cold hot chocolate.
This is what we have so far. Mrs. Krupa was dosed with rat poison found in hot chocolate. She drank it sometime between 8 and 8:30. We don't know how it got to her room, but we assume she might have brought it up earlier. She was drinking it to get a feel for it so she could make her new soaps. We also know her butlers help her with her business, and they get some of the profits, Pippa affirmed.
Money could be a motive. One butler wanted more than he was getting, Chrissy suggested.
We've had cases where that's happened. Someone wasn't happy with their paycheck, so they decided to off their boss.
I don't know, Pippa waffled. Something is off about this case. We have the victim naming her killer, but it just doesn't seem as clear as it should be. It's not because she's got four butlers, either. Someone's hiding something. Someone knows more than they're letting on, and I bet if we searched around, we'd find out what really happened.
Who do you think is responsible, then? Irene asked.
I don't know. I feel like the answer is right in front of me, but I'm looking past it. She sighed. I keep thinking this is someone else's fault. Someone is trying to frame the butlers for it.
I'm pretty sure that's Alicia Krupa's handwriting.
Chrissy showed her a photograph of the napkin and of something else Mrs. Krupa had written on. The writing was identical, all right, but Pippa wasn't convinced. She could have meant something else.
You have to admit they are looking suspicious. Guilty or not, we still need to question all of them.
We will. I'm just saying we need to look deeper. Pippa decided to leave at that moment. I need a breather, guys. I'm going to step outside and just think about it. This case is taking up everything in my mind.
Don't get overwhelmed, Pip, Winky said. It's just a case.
I know, but I need to solve it, Pippa thought as she left to get some air. The case was eating her up, and she wanted it over with. Exams were coming up, and she had not prepared for them. She wasn't able to focus on work, either. She couldn't take it anymore, but there was no way she could back out. She was into it, and she had to solve it.
Chapter 6. As promised, Pippa showed up at 2 the next day for Chase's interview with Simon. Stacy had joined her, along with Becca. The three of them wouldn't have class until later in the day, so Mary Beth and Winky were busy taking care of the store. Pippa had struggled to sleep the night before because she was still convinced there was more to the case. She had tossed and turned, but could not figure out what the answer was. She kept seeing everyone's faces looming over her and demanding she solve the case. They all wanted to know who did it, and she kept pleading with them to leave her alone. It was a relief when the alarm clock went off at 7.
She had woken up breathing hard and shaking. Winky had been right. The case had gotten to her. She was so consumed by it she couldn't think about anything else. "I'm in over my head," she thought, as she waited outside the interrogation room. Simon was already in there, praying for something. He was an older gentleman, but he clearly lacked Bernard's years of work. She could see it all in his face. Like the others, he was also taking the loss hard. It didn't mean he was innocent, but he was having a hard time dealing with it. As Chase walked in, Simon stopped praying and looked up. "Tell me about your time with the Krupas," Chase began. "Was there anything which ever seemed unusual to you? Did you ever have any trouble?" "Oh, no. I never had much trouble or noticed any unusual things going on. I came to work with Krupas shortly after Alicia had her accident. They were both wonderful people. I just felt bad for Alicia. Day after day she struggled with the pain," Simon explained. "She was riddled with guilt the whole time. She thought God would never let her into heaven for it. I told her God is forgiving and accidents like hers are tests of God." "Did you know the victim's brother told her she was going to hell?"
"Yes, I heard about that," he admitted. "I didn't think much about it. People say things they don't mean all the time. I told her he was acting out of grief. He was only 10 years old. His mother scolded him when he said that."
"Well, I guess Mary Beth was right. Her brother was just a child," Becca said from their vantage point outside. "I don't think he came all the way here for revenge."
"No, I don't think it's him either." Pippa shook her head. "No kid is going to do that. He said it out of rage, and that's it." She went back to what Chase and Simon were talking about. "Did you know Mrs. Krupa was drinking hot chocolate the night she died?" Chase continued.
"I'm not surprised to hear that. She drank it often. It was because she was trying to get a good idea of what it smelled like," Simon answered. "She told me about the customers choosing peppermint hot chocolate as the scent they wanted for the winter."
"Do you know where she got hot chocolate from usually?"
"She either brewed some on her own or she would get it from the various coffee shops. The last one she had wasn't from the shops, though. She had made it herself," Simon informed the detective. "I know because she asked me to help her fix the stove in the kitchen upstairs. She wanted to warm up some milk for her hot chocolate."
"Wait, you have a kitchen upstairs?"
"That's right. It's not as big as the one downstairs, but sometimes we use it when we want to eat upstairs," he clarified. "Alicia liked to eat late at night, especially if she was in the middle of working on something. After a while, Kurt decided he wanted to change one of the rooms into a kitchen, especially while she was recovering so she didn't have to keep going downstairs to eat."
Stacy looked at the other two.
"That explains why no one saw her take anything upstairs. She probably made that hot chocolate in the upstairs kitchen."
"All right, that answers that question. Now how the hell did rat poison get into her hot chocolate?" Pippa asked. "Do you think she might have been having mental problems? I didn't hear anyone mention her seeing a psychiatrist or anything."
"It's possible. You should probably ask Chase if he can get that info from her husband," Mary Beth said. "Anyway, they're still talking. Let's listen."
"Now, Simon, I know you are aware of the napkin. You saw what was written on it," Chase affirmed. "So far, no one has come clean, and I still need to figure out who did this. We know how she was murdered. We just need to know who and why."
"I know it wasn't me," Simon shook his head. "I would never hurt her. It's a sin, you know. If it was one of the other three, I don't know what I would do. We are like family. We're like the brothers I never had."
"Well, you'll have to understand that maybe one of them did it. I need to know what you were doing around 8 that night. When was the last time you and Mrs. Krupa spoke?"
"I was in the dining room serving guests their cupcakes. You see, we've had issues with running out of cake in the past, so we decided to try cupcakes this year. Alicia told me to make sure we didn't run out of red velvet cupcakes. Those were the ones we didn't have too many of.
After that, she went upstairs?"
"That's right. I didn't see anyone follow her," he admitted. "Alicia took medication for her back, but that was usually around midnight. She took it 4 times a day.
"How long has she been taking it?"
"Her back pain started again in the winter, so she went to see the doctor about it. He prescribed it to her and told her to take it until it ran out. If she didn't need them anymore, she could stop when she was ready. Although, if you ask me, I think the guilt hurt her more than any physical pain did. She was plagued by nightmares of the accident." Simon sighed. "I told her God would forgive her. He knew this was just an accident, and they can happen.
She was not to blame for someone being reckless on the road.
He's right, you know, Becca agreed. This poor woman was carrying guilt around even though she didn't mean to kill anyone. Simon sounds like he gets this, and he knows how much she was taking for her back. Do you think he could have done something with her medicine?
She was dosed with rat poison, Pippa reminded her. If he tampered with her meds, that's not what killed her.
In any case, this mystery is getting weirder by the second, Stacy said. I don't know who's guilty at this point.
Excuse me.
They turned around to find an older woman waiting for them. She had to be about 50, with thinning brown hair and wrinkles on her face. She had aged at least 10 years from the stress in her life. The girls hoped she had not walked in on their conversation.
I'm sorry to bother you, but someone called me over here. I don't think you should be here, Becca told her. I have no idea how you got in, Miss...
Kinsey. I'm Thea Kinsey, she greeted them. I was a huge fan of Alicia's soaps and fragrances.
Oh, yeah! I know you, Stacy exclaimed. You're the one who left the good reviews in the comments on her blog.
Thea held up her hands as if to surrender herself. I'm guilty as charged. I couldn't help it, though. I'm a huge fan, and her soaps have been wonderful. That oatmeal soap she has is wonderful for anyone who has dry skin.
I should try to get some for Winky, then. She has really dry skin in the winter. Anyway, why are you down here? Did the cops call you for something?
Yes, they wanted information on Alicia, and since I'm a long-time customer, I thought I could provide it, she explained. I was also at the party the night she died.
Aha! Pippa nodded. We've wanted to talk to the party guests as well. You see, we're detectives, and we're helping with the case. I can't remember seeing you there, but it was a packed house. When did you leave her party?
I left shortly after the police let me go. I'd say that was around 2 in the morning. I'm so glad I didn't have to stay too long, Mrs. Kinsey admitted. It was a horrible thing to witness. Poor Alicia dying in front of everyone like that. I'm glad she was able to pin down her murderer before she did it. I just can't believe it would be one of her butlers.
Yeah, that helps a little, Becca said. How long had you known Mrs. Krupa?
I knew her ever since she first started her business. I ordered one of her soaps, and it has done wonders on my skin. Those fragrances and lotions she made were amazing, too. I'm a little sad she stopped selling in farmers' markets, but I understand her decision. She took a deep breath. I'm sorry. I'm just having a hard time grasping this. I don't want to believe any of the butlers did it. She loved them all. She always wrote about them in her blog and talked about how great they were.
I did notice she talked about them a lot. Did any of them have a grudge against her? Stacy asked.
I don't know. They all seemed to like her very much, she answered. They were always so polite and helped her out with her business. The idea that one of them could have done this is so appalling. It just doesn't make any sense. Do the police have any leads?
I don't know about the police, but I'm focused on what we have. So far, we have bits and pieces of evidence. Maybe you can help us a little bit, Mrs. Kinsey. Did Alicia seem disheartened by anything of late? Pippa asked. Did she have any problems with her family? Were customers bothering her?
What, Alicia? No. It's true she had some rotten customers, but she got over that. She was used to the fact that some people weren't friendly. She knew they could be demanding, and she didn't care. She just took it all in stride. I know she was suffering from some back issues, though. She told me she had an accident a few years ago and needed to take medication for that.
Ah, so you do know about her accident, Stacy interjected.
She told me once when I went to a party. She was selling things there but was having a lot of back pain. In reality, she hated to talk about it. She told me she wanted to ignore the pain, but it was hard, Thea went on. I asked her what was wrong and she told me. She was so sad about what happened to the other driver. She told me she wished she had died instead. I'm glad she found some solace in this hobby of hers.
You know a lot more about her than we do, Pippa noted.
I'm just a fan she let into her world, Mrs. Kinsey admitted. I did keep up with all the things going on in her life, but that's only because I was concerned. I hate to see my favorite people struggle throughout their lives.
Chase opened the door at that moment and saw the group. Oh, Mrs. Kinsey, I'm sorry. I guess our front desk sent you in the wrong direction. We usually do not let anyone come here by themselves. Someone should have escorted you.
It's okay. I met your fellow detectives here and was telling them my side of the story, she informed him. I was at that party the night she died. It was
awful. She seems so full of life and energy that I can't believe someone would do this. Have you figured out who did it?
I'm still working on the case, ma'am. We have bits and pieces, but we haven't nailed down the guilty party yet, Chase conceded.
What do you mean you have bits and pieces? She wrote down who her killer was.
That's true, but she didn't specify which butler did it. We need to figure that part out.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Detective, but may I have some water?
Simon poked his head out the door and saw her.
Mrs. Kinsey, what are you doing here?
Simon?
She looked confused.
Did you do it?
Ma'am, we do not know who did it yet. I was just questioning Simon on some things. I'm almost finished with him, and then I will get to you. Chase interrupted before she could question the butler further. Simon, I'll have someone bring you some water. Girls, I'll get with you in just a second. Let me get Mrs. Kinsey settled down here first.
Hey, fine by me, Pippa said. We have some stuff to talk about anyway. Come on, girls.
As Chase was getting the other two set up, she moved to a corner with everyone and lowered her voice. Well, what do you think?
About Mrs. Kinsey? She seems like she was a big fan. Kinda creepy that she knows a whole lot, but it's not the worst I've ever heard.
At least she doesn't have vials of Mrs. Krupa's blood or something like that, Becca said.
She knew her well enough to go to parties and buy her things. She knows about the accident. I don't know if that makes her a suspect, a stalker, or a fan.
Maybe Chase will find out more about her. Like you said, being a big fan just makes a person obsessed, not a criminal. As long as she didn't bug Mrs. Krupa all the time, she should be in the clear, Stacy acknowledged. I think we should head back to the shop and wait for some answers. If we're lucky, we'll get them.
Yeah, that's if we're lucky, Pippa repeated. Something about this case was just not adding up. The evidence was there, and Mrs. Krupa had pointed her killer out. Still, the more she thought about it, the more she did not believe the note. So far, none of the butlers had a motive to kill. There was no way for them to do it by accident. If she had been bludgeoned or stabbed, they could have said it was an accident. But Mrs. Krupa had been poisoned, and it was rare for that to be accidental. It also didn't seem like suicide. She wasn't about to rule that possibility out, but there was no reason for Mrs. Krupa to pin her suicide on someone else. The more she thought about it, the more murder seemed likely. The motive was just missing. They made it back to the shop with even more questions on their minds. Both Stacy and Becca seemed convinced that Mrs. Kinsey was a fan and nothing more. They had no evidence she had ever crossed the line. She might have commented too many times on blog posts, but that was all. It was no different from the way other people posted comments. Pippa wasn't ready to rule anyone out, but no one stood out to her either. As she slumped across the counter, she found herself staring at all the ice cream behind the glass. Barely any of it had been scooped out. Even though it was freezing outside, she wanted some. It would help her take her mind off everything.
"Are you doing okay, Pippa?"
Mary Beth asked. The others had noticed how she was moving about and not interacting.
"You seem deep into this case."
"Yeah, I'm fine," Pippa replied. "I feel like the answer is right in front of me. There's something I'm not seeing, and that's what drives me crazy. I need to dig deeper, but how?"
"We have to wait, though," Chrissy countered. "We still have evidence pouring in, and it may change whatever theories we had."
"I know, but something deep down tells me this case isn't so complicated. It's not because of the fact that she nailed her killer. It's the fact that we can't pin the crime on any of them." She sighed. "Why couldn't these people have just one butler? We grab him, and that's the end of it."
"Well, they don't have just one. They have four," Irene reminded her. "We have to figure out which of the four did it."
"That's the thing. I don't think any of them did it. I believe her note, but I also think she might have been disoriented. The woman was poisoned, you know. Chances are high she meant to write one thing and wrote something else instead. Her mind was probably going over a million things, and she might have been delusional."
"I would believe that if her message was unclear. The fact that she wrote a complete sentence told me she wasn't that disoriented. She hung on longer than expected," Becca concluded. "Even if they didn't do it, they might know the person who did. So she probably meant to call one of them out for something. We just don't know which one."
"That's also possible. I just wish we could find a way to get into her mind and figure out what was going on," Pippa mumbled. "I don't think the husband had anything to do with this. He's been kind of non-entity during the whole case."
"That's the thing, though. He is a non-entity," Chrissy stated. "I know people grieve differently, but he doesn't seem all that concerned over finding his wife's killer.
I haven't seen him demanding we give him answers or anything like that.
That doesn't mean anything. A lot of people are pretty emotionalist when someone dies. I mean, when my grandmother suddenly passed away a few years back, I was walking around like a zombie, Pippa explained. I didn't react when people were telling me they were sorry for my loss or giving me hugs. He could be one of those people. It's possible he could have something to do with it, but why wouldn't she nail him as the killer? She clearly wrote the butler did it for a reason. No matter what was going on with her body, she was lucid enough to get a sentence down. If she wanted to say it was him, she would have put his name down.
I still think we should ask him some more questions, Irene said. He probably is grieving, but there could have been something we missed with him. Maybe the two of them were having their own issues.
Was there ever a police report filed against him, or did anyone mention them having problems?
No, but it wouldn't hurt to look. Tell you what, you guys follow through with everything Chase has given us, and I'll look into the husband's background, Irene stated. Do whatever you can to solve this case. We're not resting until we have the killer.
Way ahead of you on that part, Pippa muttered.
It was true. She had struggled to sleep for the past few days. Whenever she wasn't working, she was trying to catch up with her schoolwork. Despite this, she still could not remember anything. Her mind was swirling around so much with clues, she had to put away everything else. She just didn't know how much longer she could put up with this.
Chapter 7 Pippa still thought Mrs. Krupa's death was not caused by the butler. Even though they had four suspects, none of them had a motive. They all had alibis as to where they were during the party. She spent her morning classes writing down the facts and evidence. Normally, she would have paid more attention in her class, but her mind was not on chemistry at that point. She wanted to get the case wrapped up and done with. School could wait for a little bit. She didn't have anything big up for another 2 weeks, which would give her plenty of time to study. At the moment, someone's murder had to be solved. She pretended to solve equations when she was really trying to sketch out the murder scene. Art was more of Becca's forte, but she could do a decent job on her own. To be an engineer, she needed to have some ability to draw. Drafting class in high school had been a pain, but it prepped her for future courses. She thought about how no one had seen anyone following Mrs. Krupa. The butlers were still doing their jobs when she left. None of the guests had claimed to follow her either. Everything about the case was giving her more questions and no answers. Giving up, she tried drafting and failed there. It was a relief when class ended and she went back to the shop. The others were running around so she could keep to herself and not worry about customers. It wasn't her shift in the first place, and the few customers they had would leave after a while. It gave her time to think without disrupting anything going on around her. Stacy was still reading blogs in between shifts. As soon as a customer left, she'd head back to her laptop and check out the shop. She was growing more and more impressed with the inventory. Well, she made a lot of soap and lotions throughout the years. That pumpkin spiced hand lotion sounds perfect, and it's not too expensive either. It's only about $7 for a 10-ounce jar.
It should be cheaper, Winky commented.
Winky, her materials alone cost a lot, plus she paid for all the shipping. Not only that, she shipped all over the world, which also adds up. I think she could charge whatever she wanted for this. She kept scanning the blog. Ooh, lemon fresh. I could get one of these.
Do you mind? Irene asked, rubbing her forehead.
I know it's a slow day and you're waiting on evidence, but we're not here to buy anything. The owner is dead, and we need to figure out who did it. You can shop for stuff later.
What do you think I'm doing? I'm checking out this blog, and that is gathering evidence, Stacy pointed out, showing her the blog. I can't help it if half her stuff is about soap.
Did anyone leave a new comment? Pippa asked.
It's mostly condolences to the family. A lot of people seem to like her products and are sad she's no longer there.
Stacy sighed.
In case you're wondering, no, none of them sound suspicious. No one seems to be glad she's dead or anything of that sort. As for the shop itself, it's closed for orders at the moment.
So you didn't buy anything yet?
I couldn't. Every time I filled up my cart online and went to check out, it told me the shop was closed down until further notice.
Well, there's that, Winky noted. I didn't think they'd be open now. After all, the shop is going to need a new owner.
Probably. I don't think anyone knows what's going on with the shop right now. Stacy shrugged. There are still some customers who are waiting for their orders. I have no idea who's going to fill them since she's gone and the shop has been closed. I guess the butlers and the husband could pick up the slack. Still, it just seems so sad. It's never going to get updated.
The chimes on the front door jingled as Chase entered the shop. Everyone straightened up and pretended to clean the room.
Even though they were working on the case, they were also working their day jobs.
Hey, guys, I'm not interrupting anything big, am I?
Hey, Chase, Chrissy greeted him as she cleaned up the counter.
Nah, we've had a slow day. No customers at the moment. What's going on?
I have some good news for you. Just don't tell anyone I did this. I trust you guys too much, Chase said, holding up his phone and showing them a picture. I can't bring the actual evidence to you, but I was able to take a picture when no one was looking. I think this might help us come up with a motive. Maybe you might have seen something which would clue you in.
They took a look at the photo of a cocktail napkin with something written in dark brown lipstick. Even though it was slightly smudged, the message was clear. This is for Chelsea. Pippa frowned and tried to think of someone by that name. She didn't know very many girls named Chelsea who had been missing or in the middle of big news. Still, it was a good lead.
What do you guys make of this? Chase asked.
Someone is doing something for Chelsea, Pippa replied. They killed Alicia Krupa for Chelsea. Do you think that might be the reckless teen she killed earlier?
I've been looking for that for the last couple of weeks, and I'm turning up empty. I find articles on Mrs. Krupa, and she does mention her guilt, but no indication of the victim's name. If this Chelsea is the girl she killed, then we have motive.
Well, that's great. We have a good idea why she might have been killed, Mary Beth exclaimed.
But the question remains, why would the butlers use that as their motive? Are any of them related to the girl who died?
No. Chase shook his head. I showed all four the napkin, and they had no idea who wrote the note. None of them know who Chelsea is. None of them has a relative with that name. Henry did recognize the color of lipstick, though. Cocoa Kisses.
Cocoa Kisses? First she's drinking hot chocolate. Now someone's using brown lipstick to leave a message, Winky scoffed. Do you have any idea who owns that lipstick?
Henry did say Mrs. Krupa had that shade of lipstick, so we've sent someone to collect it. Maybe if we can get some prints off it, we can figure out who used it. The lab is also trying to get prints off the napkin. However, we did get DNA off the cup. There were four sets of prints. One belonged to Mrs. Krupa, one which was probably the barista's, and one which belongs to Henry.
That's the only butler you haven't questioned, Mary Beth observed. Who does the fourth set belong to?
Simon, Chase explained. It looks like we have two butlers who have their prints on that cup. That doesn't prove anything, other than that they handled it. Anyway, I went to the shop where this drink was purchased, and the barista did confirm that Simon and Henry came in to get it. They even had the surveillance tape as proof, and she gave me a copy of the receipt. She said one of them paid for the drink, and they also bought a muffin. I'm thinking someone in this group must be lying here. Why tell me that the drink didn't come from a shop? We got the proof right here.
I don't know about that part, but this shows she had more than just hot chocolate, Chrissy said. Did you ever get toxicology reports back? We could go further with those.
The coroner is supposed to send me his final report today.
Anyway, I've also been doing a search on anyone named Chelsea who died recently. There are a lot of names, and some have been victims of car crashes. That's all I've seen, though. I can't connect any of these women to the girl who was killed.
In any case, we know our killer was probably avenging this Chelsea. Unless Mrs. Krupa had another dark secret, I have a feeling Chelsea might be the girl who died in the accident, Stacy suggested, reading through more of the blogs. Mrs. Krupa's back pain was getting worse. She complains about it in some of her posts. She even talks about skipping some of her festivals because of how bad it was.
Everyone keeps talking about her back pain. Even Mrs. Kinsey brought it up, Chase sighed. I'm going to question Simon again at the same time I talk to Henry. He never mentioned giving her that fatal cup of hot chocolate.
Well, maybe when they bought it, it wasn't fatal, Pippa countered. Mrs. Krupa had that hot chocolate upstairs, and there's a kitchen there. She probably warmed it back up when she went upstairs. We don't know if the poison was already in it or not. There's also a possibility the two butlers who bought that drink may not be the killers. All they probably did was run an errand.
You could be right. Anyway, I did talk a lot with Mrs. Kinsey. She is indeed a huge fan of the soaps and lotions. She claimed to buy something every month and has almost everything. She gave me this pumpkin chai hand lotion. I have to admit, it does make my hands feel smooth, Chase mused, holding out his hand. Sure enough, his hands did smell of pumpkin chai. I wish the smell wasn't that strong.
Well, if you wanted to order some, you're out of luck. The online shop is closed until further notice, Stacy told him, looking at his hands. What else did you find out?
Mrs. Kinsey is quite a character. She's been to several parties and festivals Alicia Krupa has been to. She knows more about Mrs. Krupa than anyone else does. I was a little unnerved when she began telling me things I didn't know.
Anyway, here's what I found out. Alicia is Kurt Krupa's second wife, and this business originally started online. She apparently got into it when a friend of hers gave her a craft book. It was supposedly a gift to help her feel better after the accident. She already had a degree in chemistry, so she thought it would be nice to mix her two loves together. Prior to making soaps, she used to work in a pharmacy. She was also very good at crocheting. She used to do it a lot in the past until she got the craft book. In fact, she used to sell crocheted things on her site when she first started out. People became more interested in the soaps and fragrances, though, so she moved on.
Wow, Mary Beth breathed. Is this woman stalking her or something?
No, she didn't really exhibit any stalker behavior. I think she's just a fan who wanted to know everything about the woman she admired, Chase stated. A little creepy and annoying, but it doesn't make her a criminal. Anyway, the last bit is what is interesting to me. According to Mrs. Kinsey, Mrs. Krupa wanted to step aside from soap making and go back to crochet. The reason was it was taking up too much time and money. The pain in her back was getting to be too much again, so she thought it would be good to take a break.
Well, if she took a break from that, that meant no more profit from the soap-making business, Mary Beth noted. That also meant the butlers wouldn't be getting any extra money from helping her out. I doubt she'd give them anything if she went back to crocheting.
That was my exact thought. You think someone found out and got angry over that?
Well, that would explain why one of the butlers would be mad enough to kill, Becca chimed in. Think about it. They've been helping her with the soap business, and they get money from it. And all of a sudden, she changes her mind because it costs too much money. She wants to save money, so she decides to drop that part of her business. That would give our butlers a motive. They don't have their extra bit of income.
Good theories, Irene commented. It doesn't solve the case, though. My colleagues are still collecting evidence as we speak, Chase said. There's still the toxicology report. At the moment, all theories are going to be just that, theories. I know you want to solve this, but you guys have to be patient. I'm working as hard as I can to get you the evidence.
We understand, Chase. The frustrating part is we can solve your case, but we need all the pieces of the puzzle. Right now, we're looking at half a picture, Chrissy explained. We have a lot of information, and each bit paints a different picture. None of it gives us the truth, though.
All right, let's get down to what we know. Mrs. Krupa ingested rat poison somewhere between 8 and 8:30 that night. The rat poison was found in hot chocolate that Henry and Simon purchased for her. Their prints are on the cup, though that does not mean they committed the murder. Mrs. Krupa also accidentally killed a girl years ago and suffered injury from the accident. She still had back pain and was taking medication for it. We know our killer left her a message regarding someone named Chelsea. As of now, we have no clue who Chelsea is, but it might have been the girl she killed. She was planning on making a change with her business, which would have made her butlers and many customers unhappy, Irene summarized. Is there anything I left out?
Well, you forgot the fact that the napkin message was written in lipstick. Cocoa kisses, Chase added. Other than that, you nailed it. You're right. We have pieces, just not the whole picture. I'm going to be interviewing Henry and Simon tomorrow. Does anyone feel like coming along?
Me! I haven't done much with this case, Winky waved her hand. If I get a look at these guys, we'll know for sure if they're guilty or not.
You know I'm in for the ride, Pippa agreed. Let's be honest. I have not thought about anything besides the case. I can't even do my schoolwork.
I can come too, Becca added. Stacy and I don't have class until tomorrow night. We can spend some time with you.
So can I, Chrissy spoke up. I'm closing up shop tomorrow night. I want to see these guys in person as well. I can't remember the last time I was there when you interrogated someone.
All right. All of you can come, Chase said. Just stay quiet, pay attention, and try not to cause any trouble.
Okay, Dad,
Winky rolled her eyes. We'll behave.
I should hope so. Now I have to go back and see if anything else has happened. I'll let you know what changes were made, he promised. Thanks, girls. I know I can count on you.
They waved him off, but Pippa was still perplexed. Bernard and Thomas didn't seem to have given her much. Neither had Simon. Her only hope was Henry. But something told her he would also lead her to a dead end. That meant none of the butlers did it.
If none of them did it, then who did? She wondered. I need to figure out what's really going on.
Chapter 8 Chase had gotten Simon to come back, and he had brought Henry along. Neither one seemed to be annoyed by the fact that they were in the station. Simon kept praying quietly while Henry stared at the walls. Pippa got a good look at Henry, who seemed to be the same age as Thomas. Of the four butlers, he seemed to be the quietest and the one who lacked a personality. He wasn't doing or saying anything which stood out to her. He also didn't look like someone who would hold a grudge against anyone. If anything, he seemed bored by the whole thing.
"Henry doesn't seem that exciting to me," Winky commented. "He keeps staring at the wall."
"Well, there isn't a whole lot he can do. He's got to wait for someone to go in," Stacy rebutted.
"Still, you're right. He seems to be the least personable of the four. It doesn't mean he's evil, though. He just likes to keep to himself."
"Let's see what he has to say for himself," Pippa said as they watched Chase enter the room. Simon looked up, but Henry didn't seem to care that someone had joined them. He had turned his gaze from the wall to the table in front of him.
"All right. He finds inanimate objects interesting. That's not exactly going to help us."
"Maybe he's nervous," Becca suggested. "Anyway, be quiet. They're about to start."
"Thank you for coming again, Simon. Thank you for meeting with me, Henry," Chase began. "There are some things I need to ask you both." "We assume you found evidence," Henry replied. His voice was monotonous and unappealing. It was like listening to someone without much life in them.
"I've heard all kinds of things."
"Yes. Well, one of the most interesting pieces of evidence is this receipt here." He showed them the slip of paper in a plastic bag. "This is a receipt for a hot chocolate and muffin bought the day Alicia Krupa died. Not only that, the cup had traces of rat poison inside. I've spoken to the barista, and she says you two were the ones who bought the drink."
"That's true, sir," Simon agreed. "Mrs. Krupa did ask us to get her some hot chocolate and a muffin because she wanted to test her new product."
"What does that mean?"
"You see, Mrs. Krupa likes to taste and smell something to get an idea of what her new product should smell like," Henry explained. "She's done this ever since I've been here. I started working for her shortly after her business took off. I found it strange at first, but it made sense. This is nothing out of the ordinary for us."
"So you do admit your fingerprints were on the cup?"
"Yes. We took turns carrying that cup around," Simon said. "But I promise you I did not put any poison in there. In fact, she took a few sips in the beginning. It was too hot, so she decided she would finish it later. Besides, it was only a few minutes before the party started. She wanted to get ready, so she saved the hot chocolate and only ate the muffin."
"Well, there definitely is no poison in the muffin. She was alive up until around 8:30 at night," Becca noted. "If they recover a bottle of rat poison, we'll probably get prints off of that."
Chase showed the butlers the cocktail napkin with the message. "Does this look familiar?" Henry squinted. "That's her lipstick, all right, but I don't know who Chelsea is. She never mentioned that name to me before."
"She never mentioned her to me either," Simon acknowledged. "The lipstick is Coco Kisses. She bought that about a week ago. This napkin also looks like one we had at the party."
"Do you recognize the handwriting?"
"I'm afraid I don't. The smudges are making it hard."
"I don't recognize it either," Henry stated. "I bet Bernard or Thomas might know. They've been around longer than we have."
"Well, then I guess I'm going to have to talk to them.
Did you know Mrs. Krupa was planning on putting the soap-making business on hold?" The looks on Simon and Henry's faces said it all. Neither one had heard the news before.
"I had a feeling. You see, we learned she wanted to stop it and go back to crochet from her blog. The reason was it took too much time and the materials were too much." "She was right. It was a time-consuming process," Simon disclosed. "Getting the correct materials and making sure the soap came out right was bad enough. She sometimes got affected by the chemicals, too. I know I've been burned by accident in the past. We work with lye, after all. If you're not careful with that, you are likely to get hurt."
"Going back to crochet would mean you wouldn't get the profits you got from soap making."
"No, we wouldn't," Henry agreed. "Still, we wanted what was best for Alicia. If she wasn't feeling well, then we could put the business on hold."
"You aren't worried you wouldn't get money?"
"That's a little disappointing, yes. Still, as her co-workers, we understand change comes in business," Simon answered. "Sometimes things may not go well. It's just another test of God. He tests us to see how we handle difficult situations. While that extra bit of money was nice, I can survive on the salary I get as a butler. It's still enough to pay for my retirement and to send money to my children and grandchildren."
"You send them money often?"
Yes. You see, my oldest grandson is getting ready to go to college. He has enough to get by, but a little more never hurts. You know how expensive college is, Simon explained. I'm not the only one who is saving up money. Henry here is trying to save so he can finish his degree.
That's true, Henry stated. I had to drop out of school the year before I was supposed to graduate. I can't afford my textbooks, let alone pay for classes. I went to work for the Krupas in hopes of getting some money so I could go back and finish up. It's part of the reason why I agreed to help her with the soap-making business.
So, after this, are you planning on going back to college?
I plan to do so in the spring, Henry admitted. I was just accepted into the state college nearby, and they start in a few weeks. Kurt and Alicia said they would pay for it, but I wouldn't let them. They've already done so much for me. It's high time I try to do something for myself.
Well, isn't this interesting? Winky asked. These guys are saving up the money.
That doesn't make them killers, Becca rebutted. It just gives us more information about them. I could see them being upset they would lose the extra money they need. Neither one seems to mind, though.
I guess they really cared about Mrs. Krupa, Chrissy noted. I'm just wondering which one stopped caring enough to kill.
Pippa turned to the others. Her thought had been on something else. You know what? I think our killer did write that message at the party. He or she might have found Mrs. Krupa's lipstick and used that. If that's the case, maybe this murder wasn't premeditated like we originally thought. Our killer probably had no intention to kill until that night. They saw the opportunity and ran with it. That could explain why they chose rat poison. It was probably lying around, so they grabbed it and spiked her cocoa with it.
We can still nail one of the butlers for this. They could have killed her spontaneously. They have access to everywhere in the house, Becca pointed out. I think the one thing which could tie this up is finding out who Chelsea is.
I'll keep looking through her blog until I find something, Stacy said. I hope we get that toxicology report soon. I bet that will close up more loose ends.
I think we also need to talk to Bernard and Thomas. Simon and Henry probably wouldn't know much about the accident, Chrissy added. Then we need to talk to Mr. Krupa. We have to clear his name, too. He might also know who this Chelsea is.
Did Irene find anything on him?
She sent me some information earlier. Truth be told, he's been honest the whole time. He's been upfront about his work, his life, and everything in between. She found nothing which could be used against him. If anything, Alicia's the one people got mad at. People were upset over the usual things. You've heard it all before. They were mad with the way she was making her soaps. They were angry because she wouldn't lower her prices. They were livid over the fact that she had survived while someone else died. It's the same old story. Still, that doesn't help us.
It just gives the killer a motive, Pippa nodded. I say we need to look at this Chelsea angle. If I could find out more information on her, I could tie this in. Maybe the husband could help us.
So what are you saying? You want to go question him? Becca asked.
That might be a good idea. Irene might not have found anything online, but we might learn something if we speak to him in person. I'm not saying he's hiding anything, but he could probably tell us who Chelsea is. If my hunch is right, then we might be a little closer to finding our killer.
Fine, then, Chrissy agreed. I'll ask Chase and see if he can get us an interview with the husband. I want to see if your hunch is right.
Believe me, I want this to be right more than anyone else. Pippa cracked her knuckles. It was a habit she had when she was determined. It annoyed the others sometimes, but it made her feel better. I can feel it, guys. We're about to crack this case.
I hope you're right, Pip. I sincerely do.
Chapter 9. Chase was able to get a hold of Kurt Krupa and scheduled an interview for the following day. As it turned out, their new suspect had no issues with further questioning. He was still in the grieving process, but agreed to meet at his house. The mansion was just as clean and well-kept as the last time they had been there. In the light, they could make out more of the features of the house. The roses were still in bloom despite the cold weather, the driveway was clear, and there wasn't a spot of dirt anywhere. There were gardeners trimming the hedges, but nothing seemed suspicious. In general, everything seemed quiet. Mr. Krupa was waiting for them at the front door. He was wrapped in a blanket and looked as though he had done nothing but cry and sleep. He forced a smile as they entered. In the past few days, it looked like he had aged 20 years. His wife's death had taken a toll on him, and it showed all over his face. This could not be the killer. No one who killed their wife would ever look this terrible, Pippa thought.
They had solved cases of people who pretended to be sad over their dead spouses, but none of them had ever aged like Kurt Krupa. His grief was the real thing.
"I'm glad to see you all again," he proclaimed. "It gets a little lonely in this house. The police said I could come back for now. They've checked out everything and bagged whatever they needed. Some of my servants also have come back, as you can see. I'm more than happy to help you out with anything you need."
"Thank you for meeting with us, Mr. Krupa," Chrissy greeted him. "I'm sorry we're bothering you, but we would like to ask you some more questions. It could help solve your wife's murder."
"It's no problem." He led them to the living room. Like everything else in the house, it was clean and looked like no one had ever been there. The sofa and chairs were pristine and white, and they matched the artwork on the tables. There were lots of photos hanging on the walls, including some of Alicia Krupa. She looked like she had been a vibrant, healthy young woman.
"I wasn't doing anything important. Have you found out who killed my wife?"
"Not yet. We have a lot of information, though, and we do need your help," Chase explained. "I think if you can clear up some of this, we can definitely pin down the killer."
"I'm willing to do anything," Mr. Krupa told the detective, motioning them to take a seat.
The girls were apprehensive, but they sat down on one of the white sofas. Pippa made sure she didn't have mud or dirt anywhere on her clothes before she sat down. She had no intention of making the place dirty.
"Would you like something to eat or drink?"
"No, thank you," Pippa answered. "We just wanted to know if your wife had any issues with anyone. Did she ever hurt someone or do something wrong?"
"Well, not on purpose. She has hurt and gotten hurt in return, but it wasn't because she wanted to do so," he responded. "Alicia was as careful as can be. She made mistakes, but she overcame her obstacles."
"Did she ever have any big accidents?" Chrissy asked.
Mr. Krupa looked a little surprised by this, so she had to come clean.
"You don't have to hide anything from us. We'd find out sooner or later. We are detectives, after all."
"Oh, the accident. I was just about to get to that," he sighed. "I remember it like it was yesterday. Alicia was coming home and everything was fine. Then all of a sudden, something went wrong, and before I knew it, I was running to the hospital to make sure my wife was alive. I have no idea how she ended up hitting that girl, but it happened. The paramedics and doctors did what they could, but no one could save her."
"Do you remember the girl's name?" Chase asked.
Mr. Krupa shook his head.
"I was so worried about my wife, I barely took time to think about the girl. I know that's awful of me, and I felt horrible for her family and did everything I could. I helped pay for the funeral arrangements and any counseling sessions they needed. The younger brother was angry about the whole thing and told Alicia to go to hell. I know he was acting out of grief, but it still hurt us both. I told her not to take it personally. Unfortunately, she was starting to fall toward depression, which was why I did what I could to bring her spirits up. I promised her I would never leave her side and got her the best care I could afford. She got the craft book and began her new journey toward soap making. Within months, I saw her smiling again."
"You didn't tell us she had been depressed after the accident," Pippa admonished.
"Well, I thought that was obvious. I asked if she wanted to go see someone, but she said no. She didn't want to take medicine. She already had enough issues with the physical pain. After she started making things, I saw her feeling better. Eventually, we decided she didn't need anyone to look after her."
"She did mention that in her blog," Stacy stated. "It seems like every other post had a reference to it. It seemed like something she could not stop thinking about."
"Alicia did talk a lot about the back pain. Ever since the accident, she has been haunted by it," Mr. Krupa continued. "She went into the business only so she could take her mind off it. The reason I hired more butlers was to help out around the house. As her business grew, she needed more help. That's why they all pitched in. They could see she had trouble doing it by herself. The physical pain kept disrupting her, so she was grateful for the help."
"Do you recognize the handwriting on this napkin?" Chase held out the plastic bag. Mr. Krupa squinted and took off his glasses. "Look familiar?"
"Not really, but that name. I swear I've heard that name before," he revealed. "I'm just trying to figure out who it is."
"Maybe it was the young girl's name. Alicia always said her name whenever she remembered the accident." He snapped his fingers.
"I think it was her name, Chelsea."
"So you're sure of this?" Mary Beth queried.
"I'm only half sure. However, if this was out of revenge for the girl, then I guess that makes sense," Mr. Krupa interjected. "The problem is, I didn't see any of her family there. We lost contact with them a long time ago.
Last I heard, they moved to Chicago.
Do you remember Chelsea's last name?
No, but I could look it up, he responded.
If that's the case, my butlers couldn't have done this. None of them know a Chelsea, and they weren't related to her. They didn't know the girl's family, so that's not the motive.
Why would she write that the butler did it? Pippa asked.
I'm not sure. Our butlers are very trustworthy. I've never had an issue with them, but they must have had issue with her. She must have recognized this handwriting, even though I don't. She must have realized who had done it. I'm fairly certain she has this shade of lipstick.
I'm going to need that lipstick, Chase reported. Also, do you keep rat poison around?
We had a terrible rat situation earlier, so yes, we keep the poison under the sink, he explained. It's in the upstairs kitchen.
I'll need to collect that as well. Now, was there anyone else you can think of who would want to hurt your wife?
No, she was harmless. All my butlers were downstairs when all this happened. I asked if she wanted someone to escort her, but she said no. I didn't see anyone else go upstairs either.
Pippa looked around the house and suddenly thought of a question. How many stairwells do you have in this house?
Three, he answered. One out in front, one in the kitchen, and one in the back. Why does that matter?
I think that's why you didn't see anyone go upstairs. You were all focused on the staircase in front, she observed. Your butlers in the kitchen probably didn't see anyone go upstairs that way either. However, did anyone pay attention to the stairwell in the back?
I don't think so. Pretty much everyone was in the front. I rarely let anyone take the staircase in the back.
Wait, you're saying someone could have went upstairs by the back stairs? Chase asked.
That's very possible. It would explain why no one saw anyone go upstairs. No one was looking in that direction. That's why they could easily sneak away and pull off the perfect crime. Everyone was so focused on the excitement in the front, they ignored what happened elsewhere.
That's a good thing for our killer, then. Maybe so, but you still don't know who the killer is, Chrissy retorted.
No, I don't. Once we find out who Chelsea is and what Mrs. Krupa meant by that note, we'll find them soon enough.
Pippa thought about Mrs. Krupa's note and how vague it was. The butler did it with such a common line. It seemed so obvious to pin it on one of them, but she couldn't have done that.
The more I look at this, the more I don't think the butlers did it. Do you think there might have been someone with that last name of Butler on the guest list?
Someone with the last name of Butler? Mary Beth echoed.
Are you sure about this?
Hey, it is possible she wasn't trying to name one of her butlers, but someone with that name, Pippa responded. We haven't thought outside the box yet. This is very possible.
Mr. Krupa blinked.
That's a long list, but I will check.
Please do, Chase encouraged. If Pippa is right, then we might have our killer. I'll send the other items to the lab for testing.
Do you mind if we check upstairs? Chrissy asked. We won't touch anything. We just want to trace the killer's footsteps.
I'll escort them, Chase added. We want to test this theory.
That is fine by me, Mr. Krupa agreed. I only ask that you don't try to move the artwork or pictures around much. Alicia took so much time to put them up.
We'll be careful, Pippa promised. Can someone show us where the back stairwell is?
Of course.
Thomas? Mr. Krupa called out.
Within seconds, Thomas arrived at his side. Can you do me a favor and escort these detectives upstairs through the back stairwell?
Yes, sir. Please follow me. He motioned the group to join him, which Pippa saw as a good opportunity to ask Thomas some questions. Even though Chase had interviewed him, there were still some things that didn't add up for her.
How much medication was Mrs. Krupa taking, she asked. Did anyone else give it to her, or did she take it on her own?
Oh, she took two different pills on a regular basis, Thomas explained. One of them she took four times a day. Another she only took when she went to bed. She was always the one who handled her medicine, though. I've asked if she needed help, but she said no, she could handle that.
Did she ever take more than intended or miss taking it for a day?
No, she was very prompt about the issue.
I might have forgotten, but she never did. She had it marked all over the calendar. He took them into the kitchen and showed them a calendar. Sure enough, Mrs. Krupa had written down everything she was taking during the day. Even on the night of her murder, she had written down what medications she had to take. She told me she didn't want to live on medication forever. I encouraged her to take it as long as she needed it. Did she ever talk about the accident? In all honesty, she wanted to forget about it. She felt as though it was haunting her. She wanted to move on and is having trouble with that, he stated. I expressed that maybe talking about the accident could help, but she wouldn't have any of that.
That's not a good thing.
I know.
Unfortunately, she didn't want to hear me talk about it anymore. She insisted she could get over it. Thomas sighed as he looked below the sink and opened the cabinets. This is usually where we kept our poisons and cleaning products. All right, that explains how your killer got to them, Chase reasoned. He didn't feel too confident when he saw many different kinds of rat poison there. You must have had a big rat problem. One of the worst. We have no idea how they got in here. The rat poison is helping, but it seems as though we can't get rid of all of them. Anyway, is there anything else you need from me?
Not at the moment, thank you, Chrissy acknowledged. We can take it from here.
Of course. I'll be waiting outside if you need anything else. Once he left the room, Chase turned to the others. So what do you think? This is definitely how the killer snuck up here without being noticed, Pippa started. I'm thinking whoever came here obviously knows the house well. They would be familiar with the upstairs kitchen, and they knew there would be rat poison there. They had everything at their disposal. It does seem like the butlers would be obvious suspects. After all, they also live here. They know of the kitchen, and they must have known about the rat problem. The only thing which keeps me from suspecting them is they don't have a motive. They made good money, had a good life here, and loved Mrs. Krupa.
Who else do you think came up here? Becca asked.
My first thought went to the husband, but he was apparently downstairs the entire time. The butlers were also downstairs, and so were most of the partygoers. She was the only one who went upstairs, or so that's what we're told. Then I'm thinking maybe it was a guest who had been here before. This person probably has been to many parties and knows the entire house's layout. They might have also found out about the rat problem.
She did mention she was having a pest problem in her blog, Stacy related. Anyone who was reading that would have known about it. If they'd been in the house before, they knew about the upstairs kitchen.
True. Our killer is someone who knows this house and about the pest problem. Tie in this mysterious Chelsea and we'll have our killer. I doubt it's Henry or Simon at this point. How about the other two? They've been around longer.
They may know something, Chrissy agreed. At the very least, they probably heard the name Chelsea. I think we should spend some time with them.
Let me see if we can talk to Bernard and Thomas right now, Chase interjected. I know they're both lurking around here. It won't be one of those formal interviews, so they should be willing to talk.
You do that, Irene encouraged. We need everything we can get from these butlers.
Let's go, then. He led them downstairs. Maybe we'll get a definite answer from someone. Pippa took a deep breath and looked around the upstairs rooms one more time. She quickly peeked into the bedrooms and saw nothing had been disrupted there. Even the room she had been in was still in one piece. The killer had apparently only gone to the kitchen, as they had no reason to go anywhere else. They hadn't confronted Mrs. Krupa because nothing was out of place. The killer had just come up, put the poison in, and gone back down with ease. Slowly, the entire scene played out in front of her. The killer probably came up early for some reason and saw the hot chocolate. They found the rat poison as well and decided to mix it in. Leaving their note, they went back down. Mrs. Krupa came upstairs, took her hot chocolate with her, and took a few sips of it. The poison began to take effect, and she saw the note. Struggling, she managed to nail down her killer and tried to get the message to someone else. She passed away before she could tell anyone, but she had tried to make the message clear. If only you could give me a little more than that, Pippa thought as she went down the stairs. I can't wait to wrap this case up.
Chapter 10 Bernard and Thomas had been waiting downstairs for more questioning. Pippa had a good feeling the two of them would know more about this Chelsea. They had been around the longest, and if her hunch was right, they would be the ones to prove it. She observed them as they were sitting around, talking with each other. Nothing seemed out of place. If anything, they seemed serious with their conversation. She watched as Chase came downstairs and they stopped talking. Slowly, she and the others followed him and stood right behind him.
"Henry and Simon said you two might be of more help," Chase informed them. "They said that you know more about the Krupas because of how long you've been with them."
"We have," Thomas agreed. "Henry and Simon told us already about the hot chocolate cup. We also know about Alicia's plan to stop making soap and go back to crochet."
"You must have been angry over it," Winky surmised.
"On the contrary, we were relieved. Soap making is a long process. Working with lye is very dangerous, and you have to be extremely careful. We almost had some terrible accidents with it," Bernard replied. "I remember once I was trying to make soap with a ripped glove. It burned my skin, and I had to stop for a little bit. Alicia made sure I was all right. She was willing to take me to a doctor, but I told her there was no need, just some medication and rest, and my hand was fine. So no,
I'm not too upset over that. It will keep me from hurting myself. You're not disappointed? Pippa asked.
It is sad to lose that extra bit of money, but we understand why, Thomas responded. Alicia's back was getting worse. The lye and chemicals were not helping her, and we were getting injured in the process. I know I've also burned myself when trying to handle lye. She wanted to do one last holiday special before she put it away. That's why she bought hot chocolate and peppermint on occasion. It was just to get a feel for what her holiday line should be.
So we've been told, Winky stated. Do you think Henry or Simon would be mad over that? They haven't been around as long as you.
Those two? No. I mean, they did get upset earlier, but they got over it. They both were putting away money for different reasons. Henry wanted to go back to school, and Simon was hoping to take his family on a trip later on in the year. Bernard and I had plans of our own, but we've had to break them before, so we were used to it. It took Simon and Henry some time to understand, but I explained the situation. They saw how much it affected her. She hated to put an end to it, but she needed to recover. She needed to feel well, and working with chemicals wasn't helping her.
I guess money wasn't your motive, Pippa pointed out. How about someone named Chelsea? Does the name ring a bell for you?
Thomas seemed confused, but Bernard's face changed upon hearing it. I'm sorry, but could you repeat that once again?
Chelsea, do you know anyone by that name?
Bernard rubbed his forehead.
Chelsea, huh? I haven't heard that name in years. Back in the day, it was a name which popped up everywhere.
So you do know who this is in reference to?
I think so.
It might be the young lady Alicia hit years ago, he answered. I don't remember too much about that accident, just that it was very devastating for both sides. The family had a hard time moving forward after it happened.
Do you remember what Chelsea's last name was? Chrissy asked.
I'm afraid I don't. I do remember she was a young girl, probably just started driving. I recollect having to drive to the hospital, being told Alicia was in critical condition, and seeing the girl's family. Oh, how awful I felt for them. I offered my condolences, and they seemed to take it well. I don't remember anyone getting mad at me. Alicia felt horrible when she woke up in the hospital and learned the truth. She just wanted to die at that moment. She was filled with depression and suicidal thoughts. Though she never acted upon them, there were times when she would scare us.
She did? Thomas was more confused about that.
I don't remember that.
You came when she was feeling a little better. Right after the accident, Alicia was a wreck. She was in constant physical pain, but I think the emotional pain was worse. She kept telling Kurt and me that she woke every morning wishing she could die. She wanted to take Chelsea's place. She didn't think she deserved to live for being so reckless.
I thought Chelsea was the one who was reckless, Irene questioned.
That was ultimately proven, but Alicia didn't want to believe it. She kept thinking she could have avoided it. I spent days telling her it was out of her hands. Everyone knew she didn't mean to kill Chelsea. After all, accidents happen. Unfortunately, she struggled with it. She tried to tell herself she wasn't to blame, but she just couldn't believe it. It wasn't until she got that craft book that she finally decided to come out of her rut. She saw soap making in it and decided to give it a shot. Slowly, as she got better at it, her mental state began to improve as well. Her life was turning around. She saw it as a new lease on life. Even though she never got over what happened, she was starting to act like herself again.
Did you recognize anyone at the party who might have been related to Chelsea?
Becca asked.
I know you saw her family before.
I didn't recognize them if they were there. There were so many guests at the party, Thomas chimed in. I can give you the guest list, but I don't know if it will help.
That would be helpful. If you can remember or find anything about your guests, let me know, Chase stated. Now will you excuse us as I talk to my friends here?
Of course, sir, Thomas nodded. Will you be needing anything?
Just some privacy, thanks, Irene said. You guys have helped us a lot.
It was my pleasure. I will see if we can get an updated guest list for you, Bernard offered. Maybe if I see the name, it might ring a bell.
Once the two of them were gone, Chase turned to the girls.
What do you think?
I'm beginning to think Chelsea was our killer's motive, Mary Beth began. Bernard remembered her name, but I don't think he would want to avenge her death. He didn't mention her being related to him or anything.
Thomas didn't really react much to that name either, Winky chimed in. So what do you guys think? It's not these two?
It's none of the butlers, Pippa said matter-of-factly. Guys,
I don't know what it is, but I just have this feeling they didn't do it. I bet Alicia Krupa wanted to write something more on that napkin, but she couldn't. I mean, it's a cocktail napkin. How much are you going to be able to write on it? She did the best she could, and all she was able to write was the butler did it.
What if you're wrong, Pip? Chase asked. What if one of them really did it?
Do we have any proof they did? They've all handled rat poison, so you'll find their fingerprints all over it. They all admit to helping her and getting some of the profits. They're all okay with stopping business just so Mrs. Krupa could recover.
They might have been related to Chelsea or knew her, Becca suggested. Their lack of reaction could be how they handle things. They could be trying to cover for someone.
I doubt it, Pippa countered. Call it a hunch, guys. I see the proof, but despite all that, I don't think they're behind this.
I don't think so either, Winky added.
This was a surprise, as Winky was usually right with her instincts. No one knew how she did it, but she could tell when someone was lying. If she said the butlers didn't do it, then they didn't do it.
I think the killer was someone who knew Chelsea very well. There was no other reason to put that note on the cocktail napkin. This person has wanted Mrs. Krupa dead for a long time, and that party was just the perfect opportunity. As for the note, she probably meant to write something else.
That would be possible if the note made no sense, Chrissy threw out. But the sentence was clear. She somehow was able to write that down even as she was dying.
I think we might need to look at that note a little more. I can't figure out why one of the butlers would want to hurt her, Pippa noted. No one claims to be related to Chelsea. Bernard remembers her as the girl Mrs. Krupa hit and killed, but he didn't mention anyone wanting revenge.
He probably didn't know someone wanted revenge, Mary Beth replied. Let's get back to the shop, guys. We have to look at stuff online and see if it comes together.
Pippa wasn't ready to go, but she knew they were right. They had seen everything they needed to at the house. The note was crystal clear, even though no one had stepped up. Despite how she felt, she needed to accept the facts. All she wanted right then was to figure out who did it.
Chapter 11.
Everyone was feeling low when they went back to the ice cream shop. The investigation had given them answers they already knew, and there were no real breaks in their case. Stacy got back on her laptop and kept looking through the blog. Most of the comments had been more condolence notes. There was nothing which mentioned what would happen with the shop. No one else had responded to the comments. There wasn't even a blog post mentioning she had died.
"I don't think I'm going to find much here," she stated. "It's the same old thing."
Pippa, on the other hand, was hit with a new thought. As she got some coffee for herself, she said, "Do you think maybe she didn't mean butler as in her butlers, but as in a last name?" Chrissy frowned.
"That still wouldn't make sense unless someone out there was named The Butler. I could buy it if it was a nickname or something."
"That would work, too. It could be someone who goes by that nickname or something. It's a dumb nickname, but it might work. Or maybe she didn't mean to write The Butler, but was trying to write someone's name. She could have been trying to write an I or J, but wrote a T instead."
"It's possible," Pippa shrugged. "I mean, we haven't really considered it yet."
"That could be possible if there is someone on the guest list with that name," Irene agreed. "Of course, we'd have to look through a very long list. Let's not forget that some people change their last names. So someone who went by the last name of Butler before might go by something else now. That's going to take some time to search."
"Well, we're back to the beginning," Becca sighed. "We found some stuff, but we don't have a killer yet. One thing we're sure about is that Chelsea was the girl Mrs. Krupa accidentally killed."
"That's not shocking," Winky muttered. "It seemed like it was right in front of us, and we didn't think about it until now."
"I'm curious. Pippa might have a good point," Stacy acknowledged, looking at her computer.
She pulled up a search engine and put in the name Chelsea Butler. "It's worth a shot." A few links popped up, including one for an old newspaper article. She clicked on that and motioned everyone to look at it. A picture of a young girl popped up, followed by the headline, "Teen Killed in Car Accident, Other Driver in Critical Condition."
"I guess it makes sense, since Mrs. Krupa was badly hurt in it."
"Keep reading," Irene suggested. "This could be the break we're looking for." Stacy took a deep breath and read on. "Chelsea Butler was killed on Tuesday when her car collided with another vehicle. Police have said Butler, 16, was not wearing a seatbelt at the time of the crash. Her vehicle veered out of her lane and slammed into another vehicle. No foul play has been suspected in this matter. The other driver was taken to Rosemont Memorial Hospital and is in critical condition. Butler was an honor student and captain of the volleyball team.
A funeral will be held on Saturday at 9 a.m. with a memorial service starting at 8 a.m.
Well, I'll be damned. We might have found out who this mysterious Chelsea was, Winky exclaimed.
Then she frowned when she saw parts of the article were missing.
Wait a minute. Why the heck didn't they name the other driver? And how come there isn't much mention of Chelsea's family?
This article is missing bits and pieces. It's pretty old, so I'm guessing no one ever replaced it with a clean copy. However, I'm willing to bet our other driver was Alicia Krupa. Bernard did mention how down and depressed she was after the accident. I'm sure if I called Chase and asked him to get her medical records from the past, there would be some mention of her being at Rosemont Memorial Hospital, Pippa surmised. See if there's another article out there, Stace. I bet one of them might name Mrs. Krupa in it.
Stacy kept searching, and more articles with Chelsea Butler popped up. There were a few which mentioned Alicia Krupa as well, and suddenly the pieces started to come together. This had been a crime of vengeance. Someone had come to the party to avenge Chelsea's death, and they had almost gotten away with it. This person clearly knew where the Krupas lived, and they could get around the house without being caught.
Things are getting a little more interesting now, Chrissy stated. We finally have our other butler here, but she's dead.
But her family is not, Pippa interjected. Like Irene said before, we have to look at the guest list. I bet if we look through it, we're going to find another butler. If they don't go by that name anymore, we can always do a search for the name they have now. The main thing is we have a motive. Someone was trying to avenge Chelsea Butler. It's most likely someone else who has the same last name or did once upon a time. I'm thinking someone in Chelsea's family had a hand in the murder.
How can it be someone in her family? They moved to Chicago, and the Krupas hadn't heard from them in a long time,
Becca queried. That's true, but that's enough time to change. We can look at hospital records to see how long Mrs. Krupa was there. They might have fallen out early on, but someone might have come down. Someone might have been keeping tabs on her. Remember, the son had that little outburst because he was grieving.
I doubt the son would have done something. If he's still a kid, then he's not coming down on his own to avenge his sister.
We're probably looking at someone older, Winky suggested. Like maybe a parent or a grandparent. They would probably keep tabs on her by some means.
A means such as her blog? Pippa asked.
A thought hit her mind and she shook her head. That could be anybody then. I don't see anyone use Butler as their last name.
Yeah, I didn't either, Stacy agreed. Then again, you have people with usernames like ButterlyLover88 and that kind of crap.
Very few of them actually use their real names. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case here. Our killer probably came up with her own username.
Was there anything in particular which stood out? Irene questioned.
No, these are all typical usernames. That's not going to help anyone. She held up a piece of paper. Here are some of the common users who frequented the blog. I was trying to see if there was a pattern between them. Winky looked at the sheet.
Hags and Kisses 222? What the heck? What kind of name is that?
That's not even the weirdest one. Only Mrs. Kinsey seems to have a normal name. She's also the only one who tends to write long comments. I never saw anything out of the ordinary, though. She's usually just praising Mrs. Krupa or giving suggestions. It's nothing harmful.
If the killer is someone who frequents the blog, it's going to be hell finding them, Chrissy grumbled. I think we should wait to get that toxicology report as well as lab results.
Oh, we can wait, but I'm thinking of something else, Pippa stated. I'm thinking about who the killer could be. They clearly knew Chelsea very well, so we're leaning toward it being a member of her family. An older member is more likely because they'd have the means to get over here. Now we just need to check out the list.
That will take a long time, Irene admitted, looking at her phone. Chase just sent me the file with the entire guest list, and I opened it. It's a lot bigger than I thought.
Well, let's split it up and give each person a section of the list, Chrissy suggested.
Stace, I want you to keep searching and find whatever articles you can find about this Chelsea Butler. See if you can find the names of her parents or any surviving members. We need to get this killer quickly.
A few minutes later, Irene had printed out the list and divided it up with everyone. Pippa had gotten all the people whose last names were J through M. There was no way she was going to find anyone with the last name of Butler in that one. One familiar name was Thea Kinsey. For some reason, she found herself stuck on it.
What do you guys think about Mrs. Kinsey? She asked.
She seems nice enough, Stacy shrugged, going over another article about Chelsea Butler. It wasn't about her death, but a volleyball competition. It seemed as though Chelsea was in the newspapers before she had died.
Okay, she's a little bit of a stalker, but it's not like she's bathing in Alicia Krupa's blood or anything. She's just a big fan. Did she ever say anything weird in those blogs? She sounds just like all the other fans. They're all excited for new products and can't wait to see what comes next. They all sent their condolences except for... Stacy trailed off and looked at the list. Okay, she didn't send hers. That doesn't mean anything. Maybe she can't go back to the site because it makes her sad, Chrissy suggested. She's probably grieving in her own way. I'm aware that happens, but I don't want to let my sights off her or any of the other bloggers. I feel like one of them is bound to slip up. Whether they do or not, you still need to look through your list, Irene told her. Did you find anything that could help? Besides Mrs. Kinsey's name? No. That's what I was afraid of. Anyway, let's keep looking. If your hunch is right and we're looking for someone named Butler, that is going to be the key to solving this case. They may not have signed with their real last name, Becca mentioned. Unfortunately, we'd have to look at a lot of names to see if any of them had Butler as a maiden name or something. That's going to take a long time, Winky muttered. I have the people from R through V. Did you know how many Smiths are out there? Until Chase gives us something else or Pippa has another idea, this is what we're going with, Irene sighed. We may have to work all night. Winky glared at Pippa. Thanks. I'm going to have fun looking through all these Smiths. I'm sorry, guys, Pippa apologized. I don't like it any more than you do. We're just going to have to look hard and think about what happened. I hope you come up with another theory soon, Mary Beth added, looking through her section of the list. Anything is better than this. I know, Pippa thought as she scanned all the last names beginning with K. It was going to be a long night, and it was her fault. They were all giving her looks behind her back. She could feel their eyes on her as she read her list. If her theory was wrong, they were never going to forgive her. She didn't want to have to live with that. Chapter 12. An hour went by, and no one found anything. Even Mary Beth, who had all the people with the last names ending with B, didn't find anyone with the name Butler. Stacy was searching through Irene's list first, but couldn't find a link between anyone and Chelsea Butler. Pippa was still feeling terrible about the case. She had a million theories which could come true, but the evidence didn't support any of them. At the moment, she had to do a lot of waiting. The biggest thing she wanted was the toxicology report. She had a good idea of how the killer was able to get upstairs and poison Mrs. Krupa. She had a possible motive. She just needed the killer, and the whole case would be wrapped up. Yeah, this is not helping us, Mary Beth decided. I have all these B last names, and not a single Butler among them. I'm not sure if this is the right thing to do. Well, if you have another theory, I'm open to it. Pippa yawned. This is taking forever. You came up with this idea, not me, Winky reminded her, scanning through a sheet. I haven't even touched any of these Smiths here. I'm trying to get through all the R names. We're going to need another strategy, Chrissy announced. Winky's right. Going through name by name will take a long time. By then, our killer could flee the scene. I think there's a missing piece to all this, and it could make our lives a lot easier if we found it. All right, let me put together what I've heard, Pippa said. Chelsea Butler was killed in an accident years ago, one which left Alicia Krupa with a lot of injuries. It's possible she was in a critical condition. These two stories connect, even if some articles are missing bits and pieces. Chelsea's younger brother was angry about what happened and told Alicia Krupa to go to hell. That pretty much put Alicia in a downward spiral. Her husband wanted her to see someone, but she refused. All of a sudden, she gets a craft book and finds a new lease on life. That's all good for Alicia, but not for Chelsea's family. In fact, that would be motive enough to get revenge. Yes, there's a missing piece to all this, and that's who's actually committed the crime, Irene exclaimed. I wonder if Chase had better luck than we did. As if on cue, Chase entered the shop and waved his arms. Oh, good. You're all here. I have something you'll be dying to see. Will it solve our case? Chrissy asked. Most likely. I finally have the toxicology reports, Chase reported. Sure enough, we found traces of rat poison in her, as well as hot chocolate and the muffin. There were a few other bits, but the poison is the most interesting. We can definitely confirm that that was her cause of death. No other medications in her? No. She was supposed to take her medicine around midnight, but didn't. I'm guessing she didn't get that chance because the killer got to her first. We also did a check of the house again,
and found rat poison and lipstick. We also found a few other things, such as a spoon to stir the poison with. Our killer tried their hardest to dump the spoon down the drain pipe. He held up the baggie with the spoon. I think they didn't know that clogging a sink means something is there.
Did you get a match on those prints?
The lab is supposed to call me. His phone went off. Right now. He picked it up. Owen here. What do you have for me, Greg? There was a pause, and Chase looked surprised.
Really?
I would never have guessed.
It's on everything?
Another pause. All right. I think that should be enough to bring someone in for questioning. Thank you, Greg. He hung up.
Please tell me this is good news for us, Chrissy begged.
It could be. We have a match on the prints. I bet if you go looking into a certain name, you're going to find out who it is.
Give us a hint, Winky insisted. Is it a member of the girl's family?
You're getting warm.
Ah, it is someone in the family. The son sounds like the right choice, but I have another thought in my mind, Pippa stated.
She motioned Chase to come over. Whisper it in my ear and let's see if I'm right.
Okay.
Chase murmured something in her ear and she nodded.
Was that it?
That's exactly who I thought it was. It looks like they aren't over this after all.
All right, let's try to wrap this one up, Irene ordered. Stace, I want you to check out the rest of the names. Someone out there is hiding their true identity.
We don't have to look any further. This is the name Greg gave me. When I first heard it, I didn't believe it. Then it hit me as well, Chase explained, writing something down on a napkin and showing it to her. Somehow, this one makes perfect sense.
Pippa peered over his shoulder. Although she already knew this, she wanted to see how everyone else reacted.
She motioned the others to look, and they were surprised by what he had put down. Winky snorted and gave them a smug smile.
I can't believe that's it, she exclaimed.
Neither can I, but we have our answer, Chase agreed. The more I think about it, it starts to make a little more sense. What about you guys?
Yeah, it kind of does make sense. You feel like making an arrest?
I love when you bring out the handcuffs, Chrissy joked. Meet me at the station in about an hour?
Bring the handcuffs, Pippa stated. I'm in the mood to prove I'm right.
Chapter 13. An hour later, everyone was at the station as requested. Stacy had done a little more research, which confirmed everything. She had printed out the main things they needed. They made sure to have every suspect at the station. The butlers and Mr. Krupa were kept in the waiting room. Each one was certain they were innocent, and that was true. All they could do was wait. The girls talked amongst themselves until Chase came out and motioned for Pippa to follow him. She promised to let everyone know what happened and joined him. He only needed one other person in the interrogation room, and he wanted her. She had been the detective who had stuck through with this case. She was also the one who had the ideas the butlers didn't do it, so it only made sense she would be the one to witness the killer being caught.
"Did you get her?" Pippa asked.
"Yep, we brought her in. We've also got the butlers in another room along with Mr. Krupa," Chase explained. "We're going to get to the bottom of this today. I'd like you to be in the room with me. You're the only one who put all the pieces together."
"Oh, I love catching bad guys," she exclaimed. "I'm glad you asked me to join you. If it was just cops and lawyers, it might be uncomfortable. I think I can make things a little easier for her."
"I'll be by your side," Chase promised, opening the door. Pippa took a quick peek and saw Mrs. Kinsey sitting at the table. Her lawyer was next to her, giving her all the information. One of Chase's partners was also in the room, sitting on the other side.
"If anything happens, I'll take care of it."
"It's showtime." She entered the room with Chase right behind.
"Good to see you again, Mrs. Kinsey. I promise I'm not going to take too long."
"I don't care how long you plan to take. I just don't understand why I'm here again," Mrs. Kinsey began. "I gave you everything I know about Alicia. There's nothing left."
"This is true," her lawyer added. "Mrs. Kinsey is a fan, but nothing more. She has never done anything to cause harm to the victim."
"Actually, there's a lot left over, and there was harm," Pippa stated. "For starters, you're not just a fan of her work. You've known her from the very beginning. In fact, the only reason you started following her was because you came into contact years ago."
"Excuse me? I'm just a fan of the things she makes."
"She's no different from other fans," the lawyer interjected. "They all leave comments and buy her things. This doesn't make her a criminal."
"Fan or stalker? Look, maybe you grew to like the stuff she made, but you sure didn't forgive her for killing your daughter."
Pippa watched as Mrs. Kinsey's face went white. Her lawyer seemed stunned by this accusation. Yeah, we had to do a little digging into your background. I had a theory the real butlers weren't behind this. None of them had reason to kill her. It sounds like the typical murder mystery when we accuse the butler of doing it, but we just couldn't figure out the motive. All of them loved her and were willing to do anything for her. They didn't even mind when she wanted to take time away from soap making. Then I thought that maybe she wasn't trying to pin down one of her butlers, but someone who might have had that name. Sure enough, something turned up when I went looking into her past. It turns out your real last name is Butler. Chelsea Butler was your daughter, am I right?
What does this have to do with anything? The lawyer asked. You can't accuse my client of something but not go into it.
I am going into it. You see, Chelsea's butler's death was the motive for this murder. None of the Krupa's butlers were related to her, nor do they have Butler as a last name. So we had to do some digging into the party guest list, match that up with evidence, and suddenly pieces fall into place.
What makes you think I have a daughter? Mrs. Kinsey asked. I never mentioned that to anyone. I never brought it up.
You didn't need to bring it up. All we had to do was look up Chelsea, and all the articles were there. Some might have skimped on details, but we tracked it all down. We looked at more articles and saw you mentioned in them, and we finally found photos of you in some of them. Chase informed the room, showing her some of the articles Stacy had printed out. A younger Mrs. Kinsey was in them. It didn't take us too long to put it all together. Your daughter was the one who was killed that night. Alicia thought you had moved on, but that wasn't the case. You were still angry about what happened. You hated the fact that your daughter died while she lived.
What happened to Chelsea was an accident, the lawyer stated. That can't be motive.
It's true it was an accident, but it can still be a motive. Even if the police told you it was an accident and evidence showed it, it does not hide the fact that someone was responsible. Chase turned to Mrs. Kinsey, who looked blank. Accident or not, in your mind, Alicia Krupa killed your daughter.
This is true, Mrs. Kinsey nodded. Chelsea was going to do great things. We had saved up all that money. She had scholarships coming in left and right. Everything was going fine. Then all of a sudden, she gets on the road and ends up dying. She makes one small error, and she loses her life for it. How is that fair?
Chelsea wasn't wearing a seatbelt and veered off the road, according to the report. She might have been doing something which caused her to stop paying attention, Chase explained. She wasn't intoxicated, but she was being reckless.
So what? She still lost her life. She died, and Alicia Krupa was the one who survived. How is that fair?
Mrs. Kinsey started to breathe heavily and leaned back in her chair.
All right, I will admit I was angry at Alicia. At first, I did follow her website just to see what she was up to. I saw all those blog posts about her getting a new lease on life. I honestly did grow to like the things she made, though, and I went to her parties because I wanted to buy those things. Still, the more I went to them, the worse I felt. I hated seeing her alive and doing well. It just didn't feel right.
So, in order to make it feel right, you decided to kill her?
No, I never went to the party with the intention to kill. I held it in for so long. I tried not to lose my temper because there were so many people, and I didn't want to cause a scene.
Mrs. Kinsey closed her eyes.
I tried to move on, but I still picture that accident in my head. I may not have been there, but I know what my daughter must have felt. It should never have happened. I went to the party to enjoy myself and let Alicia know I forgave her. Deep down, though, I couldn't forgive her. I could never forgive her.
That's because you still blamed her for Chelsea's death, Pippa said. You went to the party to have fun, but could not stop thinking about your daughter. You saw Alicia and all those memories came flooding back. It's like you said earlier, it just wasn't fair.
I kept seeing Alicia having fun and thinking Chelsea should have been in her place. Chelsea should have been alive and having a good time instead. I felt so guilty that I was there and acting like I didn't have a care in the world. The worst part was seeing Alicia act that way. I had to watch her mingle with people, laugh around, and have a grand old time there. I had to watch her live, and I couldn't take it. I snapped at that moment. I should have been smarter about it, but I couldn't let it go on. I couldn't keep seeing her live her life like that. I needed to stop her.
That's why you followed her upstairs through the back room, Pippa stated. You've been to her house before to other parties, so you knew the layout already. No one else was looking, and people were moving around, so it was easy for you to go upstairs.
I only went upstairs to confront her. I have no idea why I went into the kitchen, but I saw that hot chocolate.
I also knew they had been getting rid of rats in the last few weeks, so I found the poison. Somehow, everything clicked together.
Yeah, it clicked together all right, Pippa nodded. You knew Alicia Krupa's house very well. You may not have wanted to kill her before, but that was a perfect time. No one else was upstairs with you. There was a party in full swing below, and you had a murder weapon right there. You knew about the rat problem since Alicia mentioned it in her blog. Mixing the poison in wasn't an issue.
What makes you think I did it?
Your prints were found on the poison and the spoon you used to stir it in. Lab results proved it all, Chase told her. What happened after that?
I stirred it in, wrote her a note, and left. I wanted to confront her, but I just didn't have the guts. I didn't want to make a noise upstairs, so I figured to hurt her in another way, Mrs. Kinsey explained. I should not have done that. I thought maybe I could make her sick, make her feel bad for a little bit. I was not intending to kill her. I just wanted to mess her up.
I think she realized that. The moment she took a sip of that hot chocolate, she realized something was wrong. Your note was what clued her in, Pippa said. She was actually trying to write your name out. She wanted to write Thea Butler did it, but she was so disoriented she had no idea she left off the A in your name. Everyone thought she pinned it on one of the butlers, when in reality she was pinning it on you. When everyone thought one of the butlers had done it, you let them believe that, Chase concluded. That way, it would keep you in the clear. You thought one of them would take the blame for what you did.
I didn't want to get them in trouble. I had nothing against them. I just couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take the pain I kept feeling whenever I was near Alicia. I tried to stop myself. I tried to tell myself to let it go, but I couldn't, Mrs. Kinsey cried. I hit my breaking point at that moment. I know that's not going to help me, but you have to understand.
I do understand, but I don't know how much it will help. Your prints were also on the lipstick you used to write the note. I hate to say this, but it isn't looking good for you. You may want to mention everything that happened to your attorney. It could help you out.
This would never have happened if she didn't kill my daughter.
Mrs. Kinsey nodded, trying hard not to cry.
This isn't the kind of person I am. I was so angry when I saw her. I tried my best to forgive her and move on. I just hated seeing her live her life. I hated seeing that she was okay. I guess deep down I hated her.
No matter how hard you tried, you could never escape her, Pippa said. You could never escape the woman who killed your child. Now, you're never going to escape this. No matter how long you live, you won't be able to live this one down. With that, she left the room and decided it was time for the police to take over. Mrs. Kinsey wasn't going to get off easily with all she had confessed to. The excitement Pippa had felt from solving the case was slowly dying. She wanted to solve it, but she also wanted to feel good about it. All it did was make her feel lousy. Mrs. Krupa was still dead. Chelsea was still dead. The Butler family was going to fall apart again. In the end, there was no happy ending. She felt awful as the woman was grieving. She had a lot of issues no one had bothered to handle. As Pippa headed back to the group, she was feeling as though she had done the wrong thing. It felt so strange. The case was finally over, yet it seemed like she had lost a big competition. Her disposition was much gloomier coming out than it was when she began the case. Chrissy was the first one to notice something had happened. "Is everything okay?" she asked. "Did you get her?" "Yeah, we got her. She confessed to the whole thing," Pippa murmured. "I feel bad, though. This woman lost her child and had to live with the fact that the killer was roaming around. I don't approve of what she did, but she clearly didn't move on. That's the worst part. After this, she'll never be able to move on."
"Well, I think our friends in the lobby are relieved," Winky said. "The police chief explained everything to them. From the sound of it, I think the Butlers are going to try and move on. They might reopen her business in a few months or so. It will just depend. Mr. Krupa is willing to help them."
"That's great," Pippa replied. She meant it, although her voice didn't have any excitement. "I just wish I felt better about this. I thought finding the killer would be a relief. Instead, it feels like I caused more harm than good."
"No, you didn't. You did what you were supposed to do," Irene assured her. "You were given a case, you followed through, and you caught the killer. What more do you want?"
"I know. I did everything right," Pippa sighed. Her mind went back to Mrs. Kinsey, who never got over what happened. She deserved the punishment, but it still felt like too much. The woman lost her daughter, and she was going to lose even more. "I just wish I didn't feel this way. I wanted to feel good about what I did."
"Solving the case should make you feel good," Chrissy said.
Not always. Pippa shook her head. With that, she decided to leave the station and head back to the store. She was done there.
This has been Four of the Usual Suspects, a Pippa Lotham mystery, Portman Creamery series, written by C.S. Petra, narrated by Olivia Sirfoss. Copyright 2015 by Sithara Susan Petra. Production copyright 2015 by C.S. Petra.